Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, September 27th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, on Monday, the Biden administration announced plans to go after airlines and travel websites if they try to slip in fees after you've picked your flight or even after you've booked your ticket. The proposed rule is part of Biden's overall competition efforts and now will undergo a 60-day review and public comment period before it can be enacted. The overall effort, part of the transportation secretary's recent promise to make flying less painful, comes as other key issues such as constant flight cancellations and an ongoing pilot shortage elude quick fixes. You should know the full cost of your ticket right when you are comparison shopping to begin with, so you can pick the ticket that actually is the best deal for you, Biden said on Monday. Under the proposed rule, customers searching online would see the fees the first time an airfare is displayed, and potential fees for extras such as flight changes and baggage would also need to be shown immediately. The new rule would apply to flights inside the United States and those that take off or land in the United States. Monday's move is the latest from the Biden administration to try to improve the flying experience, at least on the margins. Recent efforts have included a new airline customer service dashboard, as well as dedicating $1 billion to upgrade America's airport terminals. Nonetheless, the more deeply rooted problems, such as a shortage of pilots and the related wave of cancellations earlier this summer, haven't proven as open to administration solutions. The Transportation Department is in the midst of a 90-day review process for another rule around the issue of getting refunds in the event of flight cancellations. The administration is also pursuing enforcement actions against 10 airlines for extreme delays in providing refunds.
Are there any plans to let someone with just a regular driver's license pilot a commercial liner? Because
no, but there was,
that might alleviate.
There was to allow pilots with lesser time.
Yes,
so they have to have a certain amount of hours. And they were saying I think the only exception is if they flew in the military, they can become an airline pilot at those hours. They were trying to drop that for everybody, but I don't think it passed.
That's the biggest issue, though, right? Finding pilots to fly these planes.
Yeah, because a lot of the older pilots retired during COVID.
And they won't let them back past a certain age. Even if you're just 1 or 2 years over, they're not letting it back to fly.
And they have to pass physicals and all that kind of stuff. So on Monday, Biden said his administration efforts were having an effect. They cancel on you and you have to pay a fee to rebook. Come on, man, he says. It's simply not fair. Airlines for America, which represents the major airlines, American, United, Delta, Southwest, JetBlue, Hawaiian, and Alaska, said Monday that its members offer a range of options, including fully refundable fares to increase accessibility to air travel and to help customers make ticket selections that best fit their needs. A strengthening Hurricane Ian's rain and winds lashed Cuba's western tip, where authorities have evacuated 50,000 people as it became a major Category 3 storm early Tuesday and roared on a path that could see it hit Florida's west coast as a Category 4 hurricane. The storm made landfall early Tuesday in Cuba's Pinar del Rio province, where officials set up 55 shelters, rushed in emergency personnel, and took steps to protect crops in Cuba's main tobacco-growing region. The U.S. National Hurricane Center said the island's west coast could see as much as 14 feet of storm surge.
Jeez.
After passing Cuba, Ian was forecast to strengthen further over warm Gulf of Mexico waters before reaching Florida as early as Wednesday as a Category 4 storm with top winds of 140 miles per hour. As of Monday, Tampa and St. Petersburg appeared to be among the most likely targets for their first direct hit by a major hurricane since 1921.
That's where my mom and sister live.
Oh, man.
St. Petersburg, right there.
Are they all
They're on the very edge of the mandatory evacuation spot. I'm like 400 yards.
Yeah, yeah, it's
they're like that. They're like that close.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they're gonna hang tight where they are. So we're gonna see how it goes.
Yeah.
In Havana on Monday, fishermen were taking their boats out of the water, and city workers were unclogging storm drains ahead of the expected rain. The Hurricane Center said in a 4:30 a.m. release that Ian made landfall in Cuba as it continued to strengthen with sustained winds of 125 miles per hour. A ticketing blitz started in Philadelphia on Monday with several city agencies partnering up in hopes of clearing out bus lanes. SEPTA, city officials, and the Philadelphia Parking Authority are working together on the city center city enforcement, where the agencies plan to write tickets to anyone who has stopped or stalled in a bus lane on parts of JFK Boulevard, Market, and Chestnut Street.
Ticketing blitz is just such a warm sounding thing, isn't it? Ticketing blitz.
Frequent riders say the double parked cars are a problem. Drivers caught in bus lanes could be issued tickets anywhere from $51 for disobeying signs to $101 for blocking mass transit. The bus-only lanes in the city is targeting between 23rd and 6th Street on Chestnut, and then between 20th and 6th Street on Market, and then between 19th and 15th on JFK Boulevard. SEPTA, the city, and PPA partnered for this before in 2018 and 2019, writing thousands of tickets. Officials claim the last targeted enforcement worked and reduced ride times for buses by as much as 2.5 minutes. Drivers say the city isn't addressing what they believe is the root of the problem, parking. One commuter says they need to find a way to make more parking available. There is nowhere to park. The city says the targeted enforcement could last for a couple of weeks to a couple of months, depending on how drivers respond. In sports this morning. The Phillies, who were off last night, open up a series in Wrigley against the Chicago Cubs tonight. With only 10 games remaining in the regular season, the Phillies are a game and a half behind the San Diego Padres in the National League wildcard race. Zach Wheeler will get the start tonight. The first pitch is scheduled for 7:40. In Monday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants 23-16 last night at the Meadowlands. CeeCee Lamb made a one-handed touchdown catch with 8:30 to play to help the Cowboys to the win. Ezekiel Elliott scored on a one-yard run to ignite a comeback from a 7-point deficit, and Brett Maier kicked 3 field goals. The Cowboys and the Giants are now both 2-1 in the NFC East, and the Eagles are the only undefeated team in the division. And according to multiple reports, the NFL is replacing the Pro Bowl with the Pro Bowl Games. Yeah. It's a week of skills competitions for AFC and NFC players, culminating with a flag football game at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas on February 5th. Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions will be involved, and Peyton will also coach in the flag game. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. So we got some stuff planned for today. Let's get some money to you. We have Yoo-Hoo Loot, which continues, and our chances for you happen at 8 and 10 o'clock this morning, so don't miss out on that. We also have a couple of guests on the program today. We're going to have the conductor of the Philly Pops on the program because coming up on the 29th at the Man, which is in 2 days, they're going to have the Godfather live, and the Pops is going to play the music for us.
That's fantastic.
So Nicholas Hirsch is his name, so he'll be joining us. And then right after that, our good friend, actor Daniel Roebuck, is going to check in real quick because The Monsters is available on Netflix today.
Cool.
The Rob Zombie, or Mr. Zombie's production.
Yes, right.
As Daniel calls him. So we'll do just a quick check in with him. And it's perfect timing because, you know, we're sliding into October and getting ready for Halloween. So it's set for that. We also have a meet and eat today. So that means you get a chance to win some free food. The Philly Burger Brawl is coming up on the 23rd of October. And Mike's Barbecue will be here today to give us some of their samples of what they have in mind for the Burger Brawl. And on top of that, it's Tattoo Day, so we have a chance to win a President's Steve themed tattoo. Text the word tattoo to 39333 because that is already up and ready to go, and we will have a winner at the end of the program, a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing for your President's Steve themed tattoo. And if you want to check them out, go to 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. Or you can do a search on Floating World Tattoos on social media, or go to floatingworldtattoos.com. So we got all that on top of other things to give to you. And just basically, it's a hang.
It's a hang, man.
It's a Tuesday morning
hang.
Yeah,
it's a chill vibe.
What's going on? Yeah.
It's it.
So let's take a break. We'll come back in a second. Stupid Question and Entertainment Report is up. We'll be back in a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We'll go through, well, let's do the stupid question first, and then we'll go through the birthdays. Today's prize, 4-pack of tickets to catch WWE's biggest superstars during the WWE Extreme Rules at Wells Fargo Center, Saturday, October 8th. So the question is, in British slang, what is a moggy?
Mm-hmm.
A moggy, M-O-G-G-Y. Oh. Let's see if we know. Do you know that?
No.
Okay. 215-263-WMMR. We'll go through some birthdays while we are awaiting your call. We'll start with this. Comedian Mark Maron celebrates his 59th birthday today.
He was a great guest. He's a great host.
Yeah.
His podcast was one of the first in and grabbed an audience immediately, and he's never stopped.
I got to go to dinner with him, which was really nice. When was in town a couple of years ago, my girlfriend is a huge Mark Maron fan, and he could not have been nicer. He is Mark Maron when you're out at dinner with him. He's a little neurotic, but just a really pleasant person.
I find it interesting to see him pop up in like shows and movies that I didn't know he was in.
Right.
Like almost famous. He's got a bit part where he's the... I guess when the guy, Russell electrocutes himself and
he's chasing after them in the golf cart. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see him in films from time to time. So he celebrates his 59th birthday today. We also have Gwyneth Paltrow.
Ah.
And it's a big one for Gwenny. Gwenny of Goop celebrates her 50th birthday today.
Did you see the shot of her in the bathing suit, the bikini?
No, I
She took
like
one
to.
For her birthday to show that she's still got it, and she's still got it.
Yeah, she's an attractive woman.
She keeps in shape.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So. But she doesn't act, right?
No, not she's a terrible actress.
I think she's a good actress.
She's a good actress.
She just had some moments in the Avengers movies where I was like, oh, my God, you could have dug a little bit deeper here.
What about Shakespeare in Love?
I've never watched that
one. There you go. That's what she won the Oscar
for. Is she doing stuff or?
Now? I don't know. I don't know if she's been taking. Let me pull
think she's
up
been
her.
Totally goopatized.
Our IMDb says I'm looking at the wrong person here. Hang on. I'll go back to her in a second. Wait, hang
on. I'll find it. I'll do it.
All right, please do that. No, she was in Great Expectations. She's a good actress. But, like, what do you remember in Avengers? Anything in particular?
I mean, when Tony was in space and he comes back, Captain Marvel brings him back. I mean, a trillion people have, and whatever. And he walks out of the spaceship and she's like, oh, my God. And I was like, that just seemed a little, thin to me.
It was hard to believe that was actually happening.
We're looking at the bikini picture. Yeah, she looks phenomenal. Absolutely. Another phenomenal looking young lady is actress Amanda Detmer, who has her birthday today. And she was in the movie Big Fat Liar. She was in Saving Silverman.
I love Big Fat Liar.
I do, too. I think that's a fun movie.
That's a fun movie.
And Amanda Detmer turns. Let me see. I'm scrolling through these here real quick. Amanda Detmer, because they didn't give me a good list of people today. She's 51 years old today.
All right, bastards.
Randy Bachman of Bachman Turner Overdrive fame. 79 years old.
And BTO.
Not only BTO, but he was in the Guess Who as well.
Yeah.
There was like a, between like the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive and Mountain, there was like this incestuous thing of where they were members who shared throughout those groups and so on. I forget who was in all what. But just Randy Bachman. I like BTO. It's some fun music, man.
They had a stretch.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet in this song and a bunch of others. So
the stuttering song.
Yep. Happy 79th birthday to Randy Bachman of BTO. It's also Sean Cassidy's birthday today, Steve.
Oh, my God. He's dreamy.
Remember him from the
Hardy Boys?
Yeah. Had a hit song with his cover of Da-Do Run Run.
Da-Do Run Run.
In the 1970s. I remember that. My sister was a big fan of that.
Was your sister a fan of the Hardy Boys, Parker Stevenson?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and mainly...
The hair.
Mainly Sean Cassidy.
Yeah.
And then he went on to direct,
directing and producing.
Like, do a lot of things afterwards. But He was, you know, Tiger Beat, 16, magazines. He was the cover guy.
I spent so much time spanking it to those.
I'm sure you
did. I mean, no, I did not. I was reading Playboy. No,
he is 64 years old.
Those magazines, Preston, it's funny you bring those up because they dominated magazine racks for a while. They were all over the place.
Yeah. So Tiger Beat, I'm trying to think of the names of the other
ones.
Beat 16 were the only ones that pop into mind.
Teen Beat.
Teen Beat. That's another one. Yeah.
We also have actress Anna Camp. I love her. She's in Pitch Perfect. She's also... Is this her singing?
Yeah.
She's also in the movie The Help, and she was on True Blood. She's super cute. I like her. She turns 40 years old today.
She's less Pitch Perfect now.
We also have one last birthday, Jenna Ortega, Jane the Virgin. And Jenna is celebrating her 20th birthday today.
Is it Long Duk Dong's birthday? Go in that guy in the middle. Is that
Long Duk? Is his birthday?
I think that's Long Duk Dong.
Don't quote me on that.
I don't think so. It's another,
are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
You think they'd get a mention.
It's just another, an Asian actor case.
Another Asian actor case. Yeah.
Listen, it is a small picture from across the room.
You immediately assume Long Duk Dong.
It looked.
Oh, no, that's Confucius.
Like the moment he said it, I was like,
I thought it was. What's that guy's name?
His name is Kerry Hiroyuki Tagawa.
Short Sean Smith.
What did he do?
He was in Mortal Kombat. He played Shang Tsung in Planet of the Apes. He was Krull in Tekken. He was Hihachi Mishima.
Huh.
And what has he done lately? Yeah, I'm not really sure.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to find out what that other guy's name is.
I think a deep dive is worth the time.
All right. Let's go to the phone and see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. In British slang, what does Moggy mean? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Kevin, so what is a moggy in British slang?
It's a cat.
A cat.
A cat.
Yeah, you're correct. Hang on a second, Kevin. Kevin, we are going to give you 4-pack of tickets. Catch WWE's biggest superstars during WWE Extreme Rules at Wells Fargo Center on Saturday, October 8th. And tickets are on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Getty Watanabe.
That's right.
He's good.
It's the name of the actor who portrayed Long Duk Dong.
He was in Gung Ho, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He was the very by-the-book guy who was charged with dealing with Michael Keaton
and
the American workers.
They became friends.
And they forged a friendship, Nick.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
He also has a bit role. He pops up in bit roles, like in The Wonders. He's a photographer.
Are you serious?
That. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like a very, very small, real quick role.
All right.
So you will see him from time to time, but nonetheless.
It's not his birthday.
It's not his birthday. Getty Watanabe.
And of course, we want to wish Long Duk Dong a happy birthday. Wait, no, that's not Long Duk Dong. This just in, another cast member of 16 Candles celebrating a birthday.
All right, so. Go ahead.
We got out of Jim English.
Excuse me.
Had a frog in my throat.
Oh, my God. all right. Shall I get to some of the stories here?
Yes, I think so. We've learned all we need to know about Long Duk Dong.
So the New Mexico State District Attorney said that up to 4 people could be charged for the fatal Rust shooting that took place in 2021, resulting in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwees also specified that this could include Alec Baldwin. She said, we are within weeks, if not days, of receiving the final report from the sheriff's office. This was during a board of finance meeting last week. It's becoming apparent that we will be potentially charging between 1 and 4 people with criminal charges, and each of those charges will probably include some variation of our homicide statute. And the DA added that one of the possible defendants is well-known movie actor Alec Baldwin. According to Deadline, Baldwin's attorney, Luke Nikas, of Quinn Emanuel responded to the news saying that the media is drawing false conclusions and said the DA has made clear that she has not received the sheriff's report or made any decisions about who, if anyone, might be charged in this case. So they did say one of the possible defendants, so we'll have to wait and see.
We'll see.
Yeah. On Sunday, Kiki Layne took to Instagram to share that most of the scenes that she filmed for Don't Worry, Darling didn't make the final cut.
Sharing photos of herself with her co-star and newly confirmed boyfriend, Ariel Stachel. Lane wrote, "The best thing about Don't Worry, Darling is that I was lucky enough to meet," and then she put his Instagram handle,
right.
No, Ariel Stachel. "They cut us from most of the movie, but we thriving in real life," she said.
I have to be honest. I don't know who they are.
Yeah. She's from If Beale Street Could Talk. And she said, use the hashtags, got my check, got my man. Everything happens for a reason. Satchel responded to Lane's post, writing, "My love, you are a queen, and your talent shines so bright. I was thirsty then, and I'm thirsty now."
God, makes you just want to vomit.
Hard. The Zola actor also commented on his missing scenes by reposting a TikTok with tweets calling him a glorified extra. He captioned the video, writing, "When you end up on the cutting room floor." But gang, that's Hollywood.
Yeah.
You can go and film huge chunks for a movie, and they use 10 seconds of it.
How many lines down that Instagram post before we get to a yes?
Yes. Yeah. So you are a queen. You are my queen.
You are flawless.
I was thirsty then and I'm thirsty now.
I got a boner.
Okay.
Look, he's got a boner.
I'm tired of this, that rote sort of Instagram language. Yeah. You know, it's got to accompany every picture.
Yep. I know exactly what you mean.
But he's got a boner.
Still one of my favorites.
I know. I can't stand it. I hate it.
It's so bereft of actual emotion or, do you know what I'm saying? Of just a human.
Well, it just seems so pretentious
yes.
to me. It just seems
it's like a Hallmark card.
It seems like pretending.
Yes.
Like bottom line.
Stop it.
Anyway, Aaron Carter got a welfare check from police this week after it appeared the singer was doing drugs during an Instagram Live session. Police told the outlet they received a call Tuesday evening about Carter possibly overdosing on social media. Earlier that night, Carter hopped on Instagram Live to chat with followers. At one point, the screen went black, and fans thought that it sounded like Aaron was huffing an air duster, as they could hear spraying and inhaling in the background.
No, he can't. He's in training for his next Damon Feldman fight.
So law enforcement responded to Aaron's home and said the singer was asleep when they arrived. There were no drugs at the scene, and police confirmed there was no type of suicide attempt either. Aaron subsequently claimed it was all in good fun, referring to himself as the troll hunter while spraying what appeared to be an air freshener. He said, "I'm tired of people coming after me, so I trolled everybody."
He's a freaking troll hunter. I'm a Silver Surfer warlock. He's a troll hunter for the new Avengers.
He's your sidekick.
Yeah. Yeah. Junkies assemble.
No. They really should hang out, those two.
Junkies assemble.
Look at his horrible face tattoo.
Oh, my God.
It's yeah, not. Yeah. It looks like the tattoo artist spilled a bottle of ink on his face.
Steve, what? Junkies assemble. And then I have your stalker voice. Like, I'll be there in a minute, man.
Again, I'm a zipper stuck.
The new
Avengers.
Carter, who never shied away from opening up about his past drug addiction, claims to be 5 years sober. So he's doing okay, gang. He was just playing around.
He legitimately had, I can't believe I used the word legitimate with the Damon Feldman fight, but he legitimately had a few of those celebrity fights.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was making some money off them.
Earlier this week, Carter announced plans to sue his on-off girlfriend, Melanie Martin, for defamation in response to claims that he broke her ribs, which he says is not true. While speaking with TMZ reporters, Aaron said his forthcoming lawsuit will look like, quote, Johnny Depp Amber Heard 2.0.
Do you remember when he was the heartthrob, when he was the Sean Cassidy for a while?
Vaguely. I remember a little bit about him, and I remember that name being thrown around a lot. Yeah, it was his. He was a singer, right? I mean, like a.
Did he write that Shaq song about. Not wrote it, but sung it about this.
I don't know. All I know is he's somebody else's little brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick Carter, right?
Nick Carter, yeah.
And if it wasn't for Nick.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Enough said.
He knows Long Duck Dong. I know
that. So people get enough of a TikTok, or can't get enough of a TikTok, that's showing Kim Kardashian. I haven't seen this yet, but I'm laughing at just the description. It shows Kim Kardashian struggling to walk up a set of stairs in a silver Dolce & Gabbana dress during Fashion Week in Milan. Because she wears those dresses that are so tight.
I would guarantee this is quite common.
That her, you know, she can't move her knees or anything. So her longtime friend, Stephanie Shepard, shared the video on Sunday with the Kardashian star hoping, hopping and taking tiny steps in the tight-fitting dress in order to get around.
It is pretty funny.
In other news, she also appeared on Live with Kelly and Ryan on Monday and shared that she's just not ready to date yet.
Uh-huh.
Following her breakup with Pete
She'll Davidson. Be involved seriously with someone by the end of next week.
Oh, yeah. We're watching the video of her going up the steps. Oh, she literally has to. There was one of her, Kathy, that she was hopping. So she was holding onto a railing. And hopping sideways to get up the stairs.
That's why I never wanted to wear those for a while. Those mermaid style dresses,
that are super
tight, and then just kind of flared a little bit at the ankle. And that's how you have to walk.
I would imagine.
Yeah,
you have no choice.
Wouldn't the thing to do would be to for her to stand facing with her back to the steps, and someone put their arms under her arms and pull her up the steps.
Right, lift your feet.
Yeah. Or they have a dolly just throw her on that.
On a hand truck.
Yeah.
Like you're moving a piano up the steps.
When asked what kind of man she sees herself with next, Kim replied with a laugh, absolutely no one. And she said, I'm not looking for anything. I think I really just need to be by myself and focus and finish school and focus on my kids.
That's right. She still goes to school.
I haven't really seen much about Kanye lately, although I did read a headline. I did not read the story where he admitted that he's never read a book in his life.
Yes.
Or something along those lines.
The last thing I saw was he had actually, it was on some television show. He was interviewed and he gave what amounted to the most comprehensive apology for his behavior after their split.
Oh, no kidding.
And it actually seemed somewhat cogent.
Okay.
So what was the thing with him and the Gap? Like, he wanted to remove his clothes from the Gap?
Well, here's the deal. He wanted them to display his clothing in these what look like large leaf garbage bags.
Okay.
And that was part of the display, you know, methodology.
But it's their store, and he doesn't own the production rights or something?
Okay. But they had this kind of lucrative deal with him, and they're benefiting from it, but he wants to remove his clothing if they don't do exactly what he wants.
All right, well, moving on. Meryl Streep honored her longtime friend Robert De Niro at a gala in Austin for the Harry Ransom Center on Saturday.
What the hell are you doing?
The actress...
Man, he was surprised. I don't like surprises.
The actress referred to De Niro as her beacon for 50 years.
Please stop calling me.
And in her speech... Streep shared how much she looks up to the Goodfellas actor. She said, over the years, people have always said to me, what actress do you most admire? What actress's career would you like to emulate? She said, naming Geraldine Page, Colleen Dewhurst, and Vanessa Redgrave, among others. She said, but really, the second time I saw Robert De Niro, I said to myself, that's the kind of actor I want to be. That's what I want to do. And I want to do it with a commitment and the passion and the skill and the beauty with which he applies to it. And he's been my beacon for 50 years, she said.
Oh, wow. What the hell are you doing?
The actress said, he's a man whose presence in my life for 40 years has been a consoling constant. But I didn't see him very often. We don't chat, but I know he is, without question, always there for me, and he always will be. He's a man who lives by his loyalty to his ideals, to his country, and to the people that he loves.
You blew it!
She didn't like the speech.
She didn't like it, yep.
Do you remember, you saw, obviously, the Deer Hunter. I know Casey
was on the second half.
That she looks like she's, you know, 18. It's an early role for him, but the performances, even at that point in their career, are so incredible and they're so good on screen together.
Yep.
And he keeps working, man. He's got like 10 projects in the hopper right now.
Wow.
And this movie Amsterdam looks really interesting. It's coming out later, I think next month, maybe. It looks like a bit of a murder mystery, a period piece, and he's in that. And yeah, he's got a whole bunch of stuff on the horizon. So good for him, man. He keeps going.
Yeah. The recently published excerpts, from Alan Rickman's diaries offer a glimpse into the late actor's decade-long journey through the Harry Potter franchise. They also give insight into why he decided to continue playing the role of Severus Snape across all 8 films.
It was a simple reason.
Mm-hmm.
The check kept clear.
Prior to production, beginning on the series' 5th entry, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Rickman was forced to confront health issues. The excerpts published by The Guardian.
My tummy hurts. I've got too much doo-doo in my underpants.
They tell the actor was diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer in 2005 and began to receive treatment. Doctors later decided to remove his entire prostate with surgery at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Tennessee. In January of the following year, weeks after he was released from the hospital, Rickman wrote an entry in his journal revealing his decision to stay on as a notorious gloomy potions professor. He said, finally, yes to Harry Potter 5. The sensation is neither up nor down. The argument that wins is the one that stays. See it through. It's your story, he wrote. So he just wanted to finish it.
It wouldn't have been half the series without him.
I agree.
It's so good.
Variety further states that in 2007, the actor recorded his thoughts on his character's demise, written in J.K. Rowling's final entry in the book series, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, adding that he had always known about the harrowing love story between his character and Harry Potter's mother, Lily.
Do you feel the movies after reading the books, listening to the books, did they get it right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are some characters left out and some minor storyline things that they changed. But for the most part, I thought the tone was spot on.
I think that you have to think about them separately, though. I mean, like, the books are their own entity and their own universe, and the movies are the same. And they're both magical. They're both wonderful. But, like, for example, Half-Blood Prince was probably my favorite book in the series.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's not really like the book. There's a whole lot of departure from it. They go a lot more into, like, Voldemort's backstory. But the movie is also great. It's just different than what the book was.
He had written, I have finished reading the last Harry Potter book, and he wrote at the time, Snape dies heroically. Potter describes him to his children as one of the bravest men he ever knew and calls his son Albus Severus. This was a genuine rite of passage. One small piece of information from Joe Rowling 7 years ago, Snape loved Lily, gave me a cliff edge to hang on to. So he loved
That's
the story.
Awesome. Yeah.
He loved the story and he wanted to see it through.
He was the only one that she told that.
I know.
She kept it secret from everybody, including the movie producers, but she told Alan Rickman.
Your mother had a class A turd cutter.
In the documentary, in the 25-year documentary, they talk about that.
Yeah.
So Daniel Radcliffe and who played
Emily Watson,
Rupert Grint.
Hold on. Who played Sirius?
Gary Oldman.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. They're sitting down talking about it, and he's like, nobody knew, and he's like, Rickman knew about it.
Yeah,
and so he was the only one that J.K. Rowling let in on it. Yep. All right. So
did J.K. Rowling tell him who played Long Duk Dong?
Getty Watanabe.
I
know that now.
Getty Watanabe. I know this.
I know this.
Yes.
She gave me a peek behind the curtain of 16 candles.
All right. Let's see. Just a couple more quick things. You mentioned Amsterdam, Nick. Christian Bale told the IndieWire recently that he had to isolate himself from Chris Rock on the set of Amsterdam. Because the comedian made him laugh too much. He said, Chris is so bloody funny, and I found that I couldn't act. He said, because I was just becoming Christian laughing at Chris Rock. So I had to go to him, and I went, mate, I love talking to you, and we have mutual friends, but I can't do it anymore because David didn't ask me to make this film so he could watch me giggle. He wants me to be Bert, and I'm forgetting how to be Bert. And then he said, I often meet these incredible people, but I isolate myself because if I get to know people too much, I find I just don't believe what I'm doing to the scene.
So if Bale is playing Bert, is Chris Rock playing Ernie?
Maybe that's it. You know, it's interesting. I wonder, Christian Bale is brilliant. He's amazing. He's incredible. But would it be slighting him a little bit to say, wait, dude, you mean you can't separate in the moment that you know this, but you can't turn it off and go somewhere else? You have to actually... You know, I know it's method. I know it's what he's doing.
It's full method, yeah.
But you would think you'd be able to. I forgot what the actor you told me about who once gave the suggestion to Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, it's Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, my son. It's called acting. You don't actually have to starve yourself.
On the set of Marathon Man, Dustin Hoffman was actually taking ice baths because it was supposed to look like he had just been in an ice bath. My dear boy, that's why they call it acting.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. So, according to the New York Post, the cousin of one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims took to Twitter after Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, dropped on Netflix.
Errol, it's coming up. I want to watch it.
Yeah, I just was looking at the teaser that I'll probably dive into it. Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, it starts with him like full on, like chopping up a body.
I watched about five minutes. Yeah, and I'm thinking, oh, do I want to commit? Because I've seen so much Jeffrey Dahmer stuff, but it's getting good reviews.
So anyhow, this cousin Errol Lindsay was Dahmer's 11th victim, and his cousin Eric Perry wrote, "I'm not telling anyone what to watch. I know true crime media is huge." Right now, man, you could write right now. But if you're actually curious about the victims, my family are pissed about this show. Mm. It's re-traumatizing over and over again. And for what? How many movies, shows, documentaries do we need? Yeah, it's a fine line. It's interesting. I mean,
I get it. Yeah,
you know, I'm fascinated by, and I think we as not everyone, but a lot. Some people as human beings go, how can someone do this? I need to see this to try to understand how someone, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a fascination.
You if you're on the side of having a close relationship or a connection to a victim, it's got to be horrible. And
yes.
And if it's a character weakness, I freely admit it is. I'm perpetually fascinated by this stuff. And I've seen a whole bunch on Dahmer, but I could, you know, I can completely see someone.
Yeah.
God, if your nephew, why do they keep dredging this up?
Was murdered by somebody like that, you would go, okay.
Enough.
We don't need to glorify
But don't
this.
You remember years ago we spoke to a victim and I don't remember. Maybe she was selling a book or something like that. But I spoke to her down the hall for her story, and I got a little bit more in depth with her. And she said it still helps me to talk about it. Now, she survived it, obviously. But she said for me, it's because I said, you know, how do you do this year after year? And she said for me, it just helps. It's part of the continuing healing process for her. So it's
Richard Speck or was it
Ted Bundy, I believe.
It was Ted Bundy. But remember,
Ted Bundy.
That's right. He brought the log in and was beating.
Yeah,
so he was going from room to room killing people. And he actually attacked her, but she didn't die.
Yep. Yeah, she played dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
her roommate came home, and the lights shined through the window, and that's what scared him out.
Right. Wow.
Ugh.
All right. Well, anyhow, we're going to move on to something lighter, like the clips. Let's do these. Special Agent Simone Clark is the oldest rookie in the FBI Academy in the rookie feds. In this clip, star Nathan Fillion talks about how the show portrays real-world attitudes towards police. Here we go.
Well, first and foremost, we're here to entertain, and we're here to hopefully inspire. The fact is, there are some pretty heavy issues going out there. We like to try to acknowledge those things that are happening.
Really?
Yeah. So, The Rookie Feds premieres tonight on ABC.
So, that's an offshoot of the other show, Rookie, where he plays the rookie? Now, this is a rookie, but she's an FBI agent.
I guess so.
All right.
Couldn't tell you definitively.
A lot of rookies out there.
But it seems like it, yeah. All right, next clip. Rob Zombie's The Munsters takes a look at the origin story of the beloved spooky family. And here's star Daniel Roebuck. Playing Grandpa Munster explains how prosthetic makeup helps him get into the character.
And it really is part of the transformative art, the costume too. But boy, man, when they put someone else's face on you, you really are someone else.
Yeah!
The Munsters is available for streaming today on Netflix, and we will talk to Daniel Roebuck in the 9 o'clock hour today.
And as it turns out, after seeing a number of reviews of the movie, he gets the best response. They say his grandpa is wonderful.
It looks funny.
Yeah.
It looks, some of the clips I've seen look pretty damn funny. So we'll see how that rolls out today. And we'll talk to Daniel later on this morning. Let's take a break and come back. Don't forget Yoohoo Loot Gang. We're doing that 8 o'clock, less than an hour away from your opportunity to win $1,000. Please don't miss it. We'll be back in a moment.
At the MMR Rock Shop, you'll find lots of fun, fresh t-shirt designs like your favorite Preston and Steve show sayings, MMR logo throwbacks, and some spacey, far-out new designs. One thing you won't find?
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Our t-shirts still start at just $20. We've got coffee mugs, hats, and even some bright-ass cycling socks for all our Team WMMR riders. The MMR Rock Shop. Doing our part for the GNP. Visit it at WMMR.com. The home of rock and roll merch.
Casey sent me this article. It was from the New York Times yesterday. And in the NFL, there's a tradition that's been going on from since the 70s. It's called the Rookie Dinner. And so the veterans have to take the rookies out to dinner, but the rookies have to pay for the dinner.
Right. It's been shown in sports movies periodically, yeah.
Yeah. So, but apparently there's starting to be more rumblings about, is this a good idea or not? Because sometimes the tabs, which can average between $5,000 to $25,000.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, it depends on if they take advantage of them.
Of course.
You know,
yeah, yeah. Just, and I bet you the inkling quite often is to take advantage of
it's
them.
Right. Funny yeah,
that's
to them.
The deal.
Yeah.
The higher they can get the tally.
Well, because they had it done to them, too.
Yeah,
it's that type of thing. It was done to me, and we're going to do it to you. That
right,
type of thing
right.
with initiations, essentially, is what this is. But the point they're starting to make out is, even though we see the NFL as, you know, these high dollar individuals, not everybody gets paid all of that money.
No.
And some of them,
and up front.
And some of them might last a season, and they've, you know, blown money that in hindsight they probably
should have kept. Yeah.
They probably needed.
Yeah.
But it's also, listen, these guys are ordering cognac and expensive bottles of wine, and obviously the food. It's the booze where you spend all the money when you go out to dinner, without question.
So we had in my sorority, there was a night where the what's it called, Case? The
Hell Night?
Rush Night? During pledging or
no, orgy? We were pledging. Oh, pledge night. So it was during pledging. I forgot the word. It was during pledging. And so the whole sorority, you know, sort of created this like spooky, we're mean people, you know, night. And so, you know, to scare, it, whatever. We knew what was going on. And
you were razzing them.
It was being funny. You know, they were being funny. And it ended up being a fun night. After it's all over, there's a big party, you know, the whole thing. But they got the year that I was pledging, the sorority got in trouble for it. So the following year, like when we were finally in the sorority, we couldn't do that. We didn't get the chance.
What was the core thing that you did to besides acting like you were very mean? Was there something equivalent to this, or, you know,
it wasn't money, because in college nobody had money.
Right.
No, it was. So we were brought into one of the sorority sisters' houses. They put us in a basement. It was very dark. Like, it was almost remind you of like a haunted house, spooky, scary.
Sure.
They all came in, like, you know, all dressed in black, and you know, we were blindfolded. Like, it just was honestly, it was so dumb, but for we were laughing.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun.
That's cool.
Before we go down the sorority and fraternity path, which I'm sure we're going to, because that's the easiest to go to, but I wanted to see if there are other professions that might have this rookie type of initiation thing. And I'm sure that, like, construction sites probably do their little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in the medical field, because, you know, interns there usually get the crap work.
In the military.
Yeah, military and police.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
absolutely.
Too. And in radio. I remember interns were pretty easy to... Now, we don't do that here.
No,
they actually have work to do on our show. But if you're doing a different shift, it's a little bit less involved than the morning show.
I remember being, you know, running my interns around and having them just do crap work all the time.
As part of an initiation?
It wasn't really an initiation. It was just
I needed work done.
You know, yeah.
Well, look at what
running
we did.
Running errands for me.
Look at what we did to Joe.
Joe, I feel...
I mean, that's...
I don't.
I feel bad about Joe.
I don't.
You do?
Yeah. We took it to... We took it a couple steps.
We had people beat him with a wiffle ball bat. What? What's the big deal?
He shot a hot sauce in his ass. What's the big deal? What?
Well, he ruined your jeans, Kathy. He had it coming.
Let's remember what precipitated that. He ruined some jeans of yours, and so we sprayed hot sauce in his ass. In his butt.
He was also a little bit of an idiot. Like, if you're going to play a prank...
Wow, how sympathetic.
Wow.
I lost one on the table today. It was okay, though. Kind of an idiot.
Wait, why did we make him sit on top of the crane for 24 hours?
because it was part of the stunts. He wanted... That's the other thing, is he wanted to do these things.
Yes!
Yeah. Listen, it's the same thing when you guys asked me if I wanted to do Month of Stunts. The only thing different between me and Kathy, he doesn't think
you're an idiot.
The only thing different... I'm a total moron. The only thing different between me and Joe was that I was getting paid a whole $17,000 a year. All right? Wow. So when you guys asked me to do Month of Stunts, I was like, okay, yes, you can drag me behind a horse. You can have me drive a car into a pond. You know what I mean? There was something alluring and appealing about it, and so when Joe is saying yes to these things,
but that's a more long form. I see what you're saying, and like to make the point with you, Kathy, about the sorority and fraternity. These are things because I think there was something I'm remembering and maybe falsely remembering from The Wolf of Wall Street, where they had sort of an initiation thing that they would do with with those guys. But that kind of thing, I'm sure, has its variations.
Right.
And bringing up the sorority thing, the point of that story was that I was where it stopped. You know what I mean? Like, our class was where it stopped, so we were the group that couldn't do it. So if this ends in the NFL, then that group's like, damn it.
Son of a bitch, we didn't get our revenge.
Well, I feel a little bad about how we...
The Joe thing?
Yeah, just a little bit, but... All right, anyhow, we're going to move on. I'm going to go to some calls. 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Ed. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Ed?
So this is a typical thing we did in the fire department, even as volunteers, is when the rookies would come in, we would send them out to find tools that didn't exist. The most infamous one is go fetch the water hammer. I don't know if you know what a water hammer is. It's when you shut the hose line off too fast and the hose jumps. That's water. So we tell them to go do that. The one we did in our fire department, which was we love to do, and I probably still do it, is we have a tanker truck, and we would tell the rookies that the tank needed to be stirred. So we would give them like a long-handled broomstick or something, and some would go up to the top, open up the lid, and start to stir the tank. And we would have them do it for like 15 or 20 minutes until, you know, we were laughing so hard they'd realize, wait a minute, maybe this isn't a thing.
Right.
It isn't. Of course the water does not need to be stirred.
Ed, what did they have you do in your initiation?
It was a water hammer thing. There was a lot of that. They kind of go look for things that they did. The hose lengthener.
I love the hose straightener.
Yeah, I've heard of on a construction site, go get the board stretcher. You know.
That's another one. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. I love it. Right, thanks, Ed. Nice. And I think there's a prank in baseball that they pull on bat boys when they tell them to go get a key to the batter's box.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And they go looking around everywhere for a key batter's box, which doesn't exist.
It wasn't part of an initiation, but you talk about the interns early on, President Y100. We would send them out, we sent them out for Java.
Oh.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Joe?
No, somebody else.
I remember they came back. Yeah, I couldn't find Java. All they had was coffee. Yeah. But that wasn't really a prank. That was just them not understanding what Java was. I'm going to go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, man?
Well, I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and I actually called you guys a while back about the difference between explosions and movies and how they are in real life.
Right. Okay.
So while in the Marine Corps, I was in Iraq in 2004, and I had a prank played on me because I was a new guy, just a young 19-year-old kid, and one of the guys told me to go get a Prick E5 and send me to one specific older sergeant to go get this Pricky 5.
Pricky 5.
In terms known as radio communication equipment, and it's also known as a Prick 119. But you don't know that, so you go walking over to a sergeant and say, hey, I need a Pricky 5. Okay. And you have no idea what you're saying, and he turns and looks at you and says, what did you just say? And then you say, I need a Pricky 5. And he just chews your, you want a Pricky 5? I'll give you a Pricky 5. And he goes off.
Wow. Wow.
So you're just sitting there going, you have no idea why you're getting yelled at. You have no idea what you said. You turn around and everybody is laughing. At you.
So,
and you're just like the little puppy with his tail between his legs, like, oh no, I just did something wrong.
Yeah.
But you return the favor years later when you tell the young guy, when you go for, with some of our vehicles, I was a Motor T driver, you have vehicles with air brakes. There is no fluid for these brakes.
Okay.
So you send the new guy, go get me some brake fluid right now, Marine, go. It's up in the warehouse. You need to go look and go right now. You got 2 minutes, go. And he comes back to you with a red face, scared because he can't find the brake fluid for the 7-ton truck. And you just keep going back and forth with him. And then I wasn't as hard on my Marine, but I did yell at him for not finding the brake fluid. But you pull him in and go, Marine, do we have brake fluid in these trucks? And it dawns on him. He goes, oh no. And it's like, come on, Marine, you got to be smarter. You got to think on your feet. You know,
I love that.
When you get older, I think you try to teach him a little bit, but yeah. Man, did I get my ass chewed while I was in Iraq for looking for a Pricky 5, man, Pricky and you five. Get it.
Matt, looking back, though, with the whole thing and that sort of, fraternal thing, and you were sort of, I assume it was done from a place of love, and everyone goes through the rite of passage. And
absolutely.
Okay,
now
yeah.
In the club, you know, now,
yeah,
now
yeah.
In and that, now they, you know, they made fun of you, they had a laugh at your expense, but now you know better. But it also kind of, I think it teaches you how to think.
Yeah.
You know? And like when somebody says something to you, you think about what they just said, not just, oh, okay, roger that, and then you just run off and go do it. No, so you think first, and then.
No, that
you
makes
figure it out,
that
yeah.
makes complete sense, Matt. I love
right,
it.
Thanks, man. You guys rock. Have a
thank
great
you.
Day.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. I want to go to this one because this is more directly like the NFL rookie right. dinner thing. I'm going to go to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, yeah, I'm in sales, and I worked at a company where they had a thing called NGB, which is New Guy Buys, where kind of at the first small regional sales meeting, you'd go out to dinner, and you'd be required to kind of buy all the other sales guys dinner. And they would get night drinks and stuff like that as you do rounds of shots of whiskey and all this kind of stuff. So the bill was a couple $100, but what you found out is the next day at the sales meeting, if you kind of took it like a man and didn't whine or complain, you found out two things. Is one, everybody pays you back the next day, so
oh,
you
got
out all those money.
Okay.
And two, you find out everybody else was doing shots of watered down Coke, and you were the only one actually doing shots.
Oh my God, that's brilliant!
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Oh my God, that's good.
That's great.
So it is kind of a hazing and all that, but like I said, is if you kind of take the company line and do what's required, you know, you only end up paying for yourself. Though you are really hungover the next day.
Uh-huh. You know, Kevin, though, that really ends up, that is a sort of, it's almost like a Rorschach test. You're getting a psychological preview of your coworker. Not that you live and die by what happens that night, but somebody rises to the challenge and does that, and then they find out that their coworkers also, when they pay the money back, they weren't going to leave you on the hook. That's a good thing to learn as well. So, you know, it's like, it's fun, it's funny, but it's also, I think, kind of a good thing to learn. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's that bonding experience. You know, this was 20-plus years ago, and I still tell that story to
there
people.
There you go.
And have fond memories, except for the hangover.
right. Could you
right,
imagine
thanks,
everyone
man.
Is in on it and you're not?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I've never done the this is the only guy drinking and we're just
yeah.
pretending to drink thing. But that's pretty fun. Let me go to Nick. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So I work in the elevator industry, and we're doing a replacing elevator at a school. So we had a new guy with us. I told him, hey,
the door isn't long enough. Go find me a door stretcher. Couldn't find a door stretcher. Yeah. I was like, oh, we don't have it with us. All right, go get me. Go make me a bucket of steam. What's that? I was like, all right, go find me a 5-gallon bucket and go get me some map gas. And we'll heat it up and we'll make some steam. I have a video of the guy sitting there with map gas in front of the door and a bucket of water.
Give me a bucket of steam.
Oh, my God.
Terrific.
I like that. All right, thanks, man. Next is Keith in the commercial fishing industry. I bet there's some stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Keith. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, buddy. All right, so you work in that industry, commercial fishing?
I played when I was younger. I'm older now.
And okay.
Stood at a desk. But back when I wore shoes that Kathy wouldn't approve of. I've eaten a lot of bait and a lot of fish parts and just a lot of unmentionables because that's just how it is.
Oh my God!
That's how you prank each other?
Like dared to, or you have to?
It's kind of expected to.
Wow!
You know, you're the new guy. You got to show that you got some marbles and. The whole idea is to try and get people throwing up and seasick.
Okay,
right.
I mean, is that the equivalent of like eating the heart of your first kill when you're out hunting?
Yeah, it's like the gift that keeps on giving.
So, Keith, did you primarily stay on like one a vessel, or when you move from vessel to vessel, is there an initiation or a razzing or hazing when you go from boat to boat, or how does it work out?
Well, when I was young, you just got hazed. You know what I mean?
Okay, I got you.
So I don't know what it was, but I was the target, and I wasn't a sissy most of the time.
Okay. All right, Keith, give us something gnarly that you ate.
I've eaten swordfish liver. I've eaten just bait that's been dragged across the ground.
Bait.
Swordfish. Raw sea urchin,
sea urchin. So basically, it's your Stroman, Preston. Yeah, what you get in a can.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, my God, yeah.
All right, thanks, Keith. Appreciate it, man. Let me go to, Jacqueline, who has a stonemason stuff to share with us. Hi, Jacqueline, good morning. What's up, Jacqueline?
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good.
So one of the things they'll get you to do at first is... they'll say something like, I bet you can't pick up that bag of cement or that bag of mortar up over your head.
Okay.
And you usually are able to do it, and then someone will come up behind you with a razor blade and cut the whole bag open.
Okay. Oh, no.
It's a good one, too.
Oh.
It's a good one, too. Yeah.
And it just spills all over them, right?
Yeah.
That's
luckily,
good.
I could not lift it over.
You were smart.
If
you were smart.
I swear to God, we all would have ended up on Dateline.
Nice.
No.
I like that. Thank
I've seen
you, Jacqueline.
And construction sites. There's no way I would bail on that. Like I wouldn't be able to hammer it.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yes. A and case B. You don't want to feel like an it. You want? Oh, I'll go get that. I'll go get the bucket of steam.
Well, and I know somebody who was in a union and like couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
couldn't handle how tough it was. The stuff like this that they were doing, and left. Got out. Went out on his own for years, and then finally, after he knew, I guess he knew what he was getting himself into, knew what to prepare for, and went back and successfully stayed in, went through the apprenticeship and all of that.
It's tough. If you think about the commercial fishing in the early years of the show The Deadliest Catch, they had the razzing and that sort of stuff. But I mean, in those situations, like Kathy, if you're on a construction site or whatever, you could literally get a coworker killed if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so, I guess that's a tension breaker.
I saw one gag that on the construction site and I don't know exactly what the story is behind it, because I just watched the video, but they take a tape measure and they go to measure the guy's face. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they measure from the top of his head down to his crotch. Right.
Yeah.
And then they bring it out. and then they let the tape measure go, and it smashes right on their nuts. Yeah. It's hilarious, but I don't know what the story is.
It just turns into a pendulum.
Yes.
Gets them right in the balls.
I'm going to go to...
It's too good.
Joy. Hi there, Joy. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks. Oh, it's Joe. I'm sorry. Hey, Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, so basically, back when I was in the Boy Scouts in a venture crew, what you would do with a new kid, you tell him when you got a fire going, you tell him to go get the left-handed smoke shifter out in the woods. They go out there, and sure enough, they go and look around for about 15, 20 minutes for this left-handed smoke shifter, and it doesn't exist.
Nope. I remember going snipe hunting when it was in Boy Scouts.
Yeah, snipe is a classic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, there was a Cheers episode about snipe hunting. Yeah.
Yep. We'll go over to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, what's
hey,
up,
ladies.
Buddy?
Hey. Hey, when I was in the military, we used to do this thing that the new guys, I was in an armor unit, we used to give them a ball peen hammer to tell them to go out and check the tanks for soft spots.
So they'd be out there hitting a ball peen hammer on tank armor.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Was chalk involved with this?
Who?
Chalk. Like white pieces of chalk?
Yeah, well, sometimes, yeah. I mean, it all depended on how far we wanted to go with it, too.
All right, because they had a... Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, because somebody else texted in with the exact same or a very similar prank, but they would give a rubber mallet and a piece of chalk, and they would have to go look for soft pieces of armor on the tank, and they would ding the tank. Inevitably, it would sound different in different spots, so they think, oh, this is a soft spot. There's not enough armor here. Yeah, and they go around the entire damn tank.
Sometimes they'd be out there for hours, but it was always a good time.
That is hilarious. That reminds me, Preston, of the Bugs Thanks, Bunny war cartoons where they put him in charge of checking the missiles for duds.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, let me go next to Paul. He's going to talk about prison. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, my man?
Yeah, I worked in a prison for about 7 years, and, you know, whenever you were the new guy, you always got stuck. When inmates came in, you had to do the strip searches.
They left that detail up to the newbies.
Yeah. Okay. No one wanted that job, and then anytime you had a disruptive inmate that you had to bring to segregation, if they really, really didn't want to cooperate, you had to do a staff-assisted strip search, which usually involved the newest staff member getting very intimate with the inmate.
Oh, wow. That's a trial by fire.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was tough. I actually had a coworker get sued because the inmate claimed he put a finger in a spot.
Wow.
Interesting.
Did you ever prank a newbie by having one of the convicts have one of those endless handkerchiefs in their butts?
That would have been hilarious.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate
it. This thing won't stop.
Let's see. I will go. Oh, yeah. Let's go to this one. Hey, Brian, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, my man?
So I was an electrician, and I was on a wage job, and I was only 18 years old. Never really been in a bar. So after work, all the guys took me to a bar and they said, we're going to sing karaoke.
Okay.
And they said, you know, we'll sign up first so you can see how it goes. And then, you know, you'll go last. I was like, okay. So being a country guy and, you know, I figured I'd sing Garth Brooks the Dance. And, you know, the karaoke starts and I'm going to kind of waiting for one of the guys' names that I'm working with to go, and of course it's my name that goes first.
They called you first. Nice.
None of the other guys signed up. It was only me.
So you're putting on a concert.
You had to get up there and sing that tender Garth Brooks ballad.
It'd be
how'd that go, by the way, Brian?
So I did well, except I really kind of brought the atmosphere down in the bar because, you know, upbeat bar, and here I am.
Yeah, it's like when Nick played We Got Tonight at the frat party. Mm-hmm. That's great, Brian. Thanks, man.
It would be really funny if they all just signed up his name instead of, you know, because they all look like they were signing up. But if they
and
all,
every single song, they kept calling him back to be. That would be a good one. I like that. These are rookie... kind of newbie initiations that we're talking about because the NFL does these rookie dinners. There was an article in the New York Times about that recently calling that out. So I'm going to go to Dominic next, another Boy Scout story. Hey, Dominic, good morning.
Good morning. You guys are office.
Thanks. Office. What's up, bud?
So when I was my first, like, sleepaway camp for Boy Scouts, I was, like, what, 12? We were about to go swim in the lake, and they sent me to go look for the fallopian tube.
Oh, my God.
That's fallopian. Oh,
fantastic. That's really good.
Yeah, that was embarrassing, especially when you don't know those things.
Yeah, so right. were you going up and asking leaders where the fallopian tubes were?
Yep, and there was a nice warehouse full of kids. This had to be a thing they did every year because All I got was laughs right away.
That's great. All right, thanks, Tom. Which one, Casey? Yeah.
I was looking at number 6 because we had like 2 calls that were just very similar.
Okay, I'll go to Ben. Hi, Ben. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey. So I've worked in kitchens for a while, and it's part of the new guy kind of hazing was either emptying out all the hot water from the coffee maker at the end of the night, but obviously since it's set up to... constantly brew.
Oh, it's hooked up to a line? Oh, my God, that's great.
So there's guys there 5-10 minutes just emptying it out. Also,
it's just constantly running. That's
I love it.
Sending them out looking for left-handed pizza cutters or pickle jar openers. Oh, send the tool in the back.
That seems to be a common theme. The left-handed whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I like love that.
And I like the pickle jar opener.
And you're thanks, you're right for the picking because you're nervous. You're the newbie. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. I like this one. I'm going to go to James. Hi, James. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great, man. What's up?
Yeah, way back in the day, my brothers would tell this hilarious story when they worked at U.S. Steel. There was this huge crane that would move material from building to building, obviously operated from a tower, crane operators. And they would give the newbies this hokey little box with 2 buttons on it, a transistor radio antenna stuck in it, and tell them that was operating this crane. And they would push the button, and this huge crane was coming.
That's excellent.
That's so good.
So they think they're operating a huge crane.
That's terrible.
They felt so important, like they're operating the first day, God. I'm operating this crane.
I'd pay good money to see a video of that.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
Thanks, James. I appreciate it, man. All right, we'll see ya.
You're watching this huge thing movie. Got this little.
They're letting me do this on my first day?
First day I was a crane operator.
I'm going to go to Alex. Hi there, Alex. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Alex. You're talking about Raz and the newbies. What's your story?
So when I was a kid, 16, 17, I worked at Chick-fil-A down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I would train. I was a team leader, manager, whatever. And so I'd have to train the new kids who were my age, of course. But the girls especially, because the guys never fell for it. But I'm showing them how to, where to find the chicken, the napkins, whatever. And they go, okay, what's next? I go, all right, well, now we got to go upstairs and pluck the chicken. And she'd go, what? I go, yeah, upstairs. Where do you think the chickens come from? inevitably a couple of them started crying.
But hang on, Alex.
I'm just joking.
Alex, is there even an upstairs at the Chick-fil-A?
It was a very small, office thing, and I convinced them that there was, another door.
They got to go pluck the chickens.
That's fantastic. All right, Alex, thank you. Oh, my God, there's so many other good ones here, gang, but we got to take a break. There's another one that an electrician would tell them to watch out for that invisible floor glue.
It's going to
be stepping around everything. Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much. And then Samantha, as a waitress, said they would tell people to water the fake plants and... Oh, there's good things.
I love Jessica's amusement park. She'd drop bolts and screws from the top of the ride to make them think it was falling apart.
Oh, no.
That is terrible.
These are good, folks. Thank you. All right, so the rookie dinner in the NFL. But the difference between the ones that we heard about on the phones is this would cost you $25,000 to take the guys. And that's real money, and it's going away for good.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. But thank you for sharing. We do appreciate that. Speaking of $25,000, we got $1,000 to give away, and I want to make sure we're staying on time for it. It's for MMR's Yoo-Hoo Loot, and I've got more details on that in just a moment. It's coming up at 8 o'clock. Stay with us. B-File on the way next.
The MMR. Into
to your neighborhood.
Join the MM Army tomorrow from 4 to 6 at the Giant on Trenton Avenue in Morrisville for a community celebration with food, fun, games, and prizes. Meet some of Giant's great partners and sample some of their products. Thursday from 7 to 9, Casey Boy Rocks Saloon 151, 151 West Gay Street in Westchester. Enter for a chance to win Eagles Dallas tickets or a Dallas Goedert autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light. Plus, enjoy 250 Bud Light bottles.
Yeah, that's right, Axel. You could be mine. 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks and GNR. Preston and Steve Show. Tuesday morning, 8:01 a.m. That means this.
Yoo-hoo! Here it is, MMR's Yoo-hoo Loot. Now, listen up. Here's your keyword.
And the word is worth, W-O-R-T-H. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Again, it's worth. There are three ways for you to do this, okay? You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. You can also enter it at the MMR app or at WMMR.com, and one random entry wins $1,000 in this company-wide contest. Each winner gets a call from Beasley, so make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com, and it is sponsored by Horizon Services. So again, the word is worth. All right, 15 minutes till after the hour to get to this. So W-O-R-T-H, make sure you enter that now. Let's have a look at traffic, see what's happening so far this morning. Kathy, what you got?
We've got a couple of things here. An accident on the Schuylkill Expressway has it stopped eastbound between City Avenue and Montgomery. The accident is off to the shoulder. We're slow westbound, Passyunk to South Street, the Boulevard to Belmont, and then again at Conshohocken. 95 northbound, a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane. So North 95 stopped from Girard to Cotman. The disabled vehicle blocking the right lane, stay to the left to get around it. 95 southbound, heavy from Cotman through the bridge, the Betsy Ross Bridge to Girard, the Vine westbound, slowing 95 to Broad Street, the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill Expressway, Pennsylvania Turnpike westbound, heavy Willow Grove to Fort Washington, 422 eastbound, backing up Limerick to Royersford, and then on the Blue Route southbound, you're slow, the Mid-County tolls to the Schuylkill from Villanova to Broomall southbound, from the Media Bypass to Baltimore Pike, and then in New Jersey, Route 130 southbound at the Black Horse Pike, a down pole and wide has two right lanes closed. You're jammed back to Collins Avenue. 42 freeway northbound, heavy Blackwood-Clementon Road to 295. 55 northbound jams Deptford to 42. This traffic report brought to you by Acme. Bring on all the flavors with Acme. Explore fresh recipes. Discover fall inspiration. Slow down and fall into flavor at acmemarkets.com/fall. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Don't forget Tattoos Day. Chance for you to win a Preston Steve themed tattoo. That is from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing at 1729. South Street in Philly. So text the word tattoo to 39333 and we'll find out if you win by the end of the program. Also, a little bit later on, we'll be giving away some tickets for the Philly Burger Brawl because Mike's Barbecue is going to be stopping off some here and dropping off some goodies. So get yourself ready because that event is coming up on
October 23rd.
Thank you, Casey. October 23rd. So we will have those tickets for you in a little while. Just listen closely for your chance to win. While you're waiting, we'll do this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Kane's Chicken Fingers, focused on being the best at one thing and getting it right every time. Raising Kane's Chicken Fingers, now open in Fairless Hills in the Court at Oxford Valley. One love. All right, we're going to start with this home run story here. A man has been caught urinating on the grave of his ex-wife, whom he divorced 48 years ago, by the woman's horrified children.
Oh, my God.
In shocking footage captured by a hidden camera set up by family members, a man can be seen pulling up in his SUV, only to get out while leaving the engine running to walk over to her gravesite. The man can be seen unzipping his pants in order to relieve himself, completely unaware that his every move is being caught on film. Shockingly, he brought his current spouse with him to defile the memorial.
Watch this.
The footage was posted to Facebook by Michael Murphy, whose mother, Linda Louise Torello, lies 6 feet under the gravesite being urinated upon. She died of cancer in 2017. She was 66 years old. They decided to stake out the cemetery after bags of poop were repeatedly left on Torello's grave and were stunned to see their mom's former spouse roll up five mornings in a row.
Five mornings in a row to piss on the grave.
Yeah. It's unclear what prompted the man to indulge in the behavior, although he previously told his daughter, Murphy's half-sister, that he regretted ever having her.
God.
So he sounds like a lovely guy.
He's just getting nostalgic.
So he had written, "This is breaking my heart.
I should piss on you."
A man from Bergen County, New Jersey, has been leaving bags of poop and pissing on my mother's tombstone almost every morning like a normal routine, assisted by his wife. We have weeks and months of evidence. It's been reported to police and news outlets. No one in my family has had contact with him since 1976.
This is insane.
Or so. And how he found my mother's gravesite, we are not sure. But this stems back to a problem almost 50 years ago. Pray for us and thank you. And please share this. Torello died in 2017, like I said. And it's possible her ex-husband may have been peeing on the grave for 5 years. She's buried in a cemetery at Tappan Reformed Church in Orangetown, New York. At first, Murphy noticed a bag containing feces, but thought that it had been left there by mistake, perhaps by a dog walker. Then he noticed the same thing the next time he visited the site.
Dear God.
Police were called, and the children got permission from the manager of the cemetery to place a camera next to the grave in order to catch the perpetrator. And upon checking the footage, they were shocked to find that it was a man who had briefly been married to Torello during the 1970s.
Furthermore, what the hell happened? It appears
the man would drive to the cemetery every morning at dawn to urinate on Torello's grave while his current wife looked on. Murphy said the video and pictures that he and his sister recorded indicated that the man drove to the cemetery almost every morning at 6:15 a.m. specifically to pee on the grave.
What the hell?
And here's what this guy said. The son said, "I promised my wife and kids that I wouldn't hurt him, but I'm afraid to confront him because I wouldn't be able to control myself if I got that close to him.
Wow.
He did this to my mother's grave for months, maybe years. Every cop I speak to said, you're a better man than me, because I would have killed him."
God.
The man has not reached out to the perpetrator personally, but did post a message on social media that he apparently saw, which stated, "A storm is coming."
So
the police said there's nothing they could do because there were no specific threats of physical violence.
So one can only assume that his marriage to this woman ended poorly, correct?
We can only assume that, yeah. So how messed up is that?
To be that committed.
Yeah.
To do it every morning.
Yep. All right. I have some other interesting stories.
It's a really hard one to top.
Well, in a freak accident, a woman fell over 20 feet from a roof in India and was impaled on a steel rod.
Oh, my God.
It gets more intense. It had happened when the woman named Khatija was being attacked by a band of monkeys.
Oh, geez.
The old monkey attack.
As she desperately tried to fight them off, she lost her balance and fell onto a bar-lined boundary wall.
Hey, hey!
The 20-year-old victim. Hey, hey! Hey,
it's the monkeys!
Here we come.
The 20-year-old victim was horribly injured after the rod went straight through her stomach and out her back. Wow.
Oh, no.
Listen to this. The woman wasn't found for about an hour.
Oh, my God. So she stuck around. Ha-ha!
Finally, family members discovered her and tried to free her. They rushed her to the hospital with a steel rod still jammed through her abdomen.
Oh, man.
Khatija underwent an emergency surgery, and amazingly, doctors were successful. They removed the bar from her belly, and she is in stable condition.
You think something that obtrusive would literally kill you instantly?
Yeah, not instantly, no. Yeah. And it must have, wherever it was jammed in there, kept her from bleeding to death.
Vagina.
However, it wasn't in her vagina. Her abdomen.
He's not a doctor.
However, her recovery will be long and difficult due to the severity of the injuries she sustained. Wild monkey attacks are not completely uncommon in India. Another incident in July that we reported on, wild monkeys took a human baby from his father and threw it from a rooftop, and that baby was killed. That was a horrible, horrible story.
It's insanity. It is literally the beginning of the Planet of the Apes over there in India.
All right, how about this one? A 63-year-old worker died in the public bathroom of a South Carolina department store, but her body was not discovered for 4 days.
Man.
Bessie Durham, a janitor at Belk's at Columbiana Center, was found dead Monday in a bathroom stall. Her cleaning cart was outside the restroom.
So the guy waiting outside for 4 days finally had enough.
She was last seen Thursday at work, and her body was found shortly after her family filed a missing persons report. The coroner's office said that there are no signs that someone killed Durham or that she was using drugs. An autopsy is planned to determine her cause of death. The store was open regularly over those 4 days.
And no one used the bathroom.
And police are investigating to see if anyone was negligent. It probably, you know, her cart was out front, so they
thought she was in the bathroom. Yes.
Somebody was in there, a maintenance worker.
Right.
But you would think that the staff
right.
might notice someone was missing or that cart was sitting there for 4 days and never moved.
Must have been taco night at Sheila's house.
All right, one last story. And I have... These stories are all...
These are home runs.
Over the top as far as bizarre file goes.
Almost not worthy of all this wonderful
stuff. A woman has been hospitalized after her daughter's dog accidentally defecated on her face while she was asleep.
Oh, my God.
What? That was no accident.
Amanda Gummo spent 3 days in the hospital after Belle, a chihuahua, had a little accident on her face, including in her mouth... causing her to become violently ill and require medical treatment.
Honestly, when your life has descended to the point where your chihuahua is crapping in your mouth, it's time for a change.
Ms. Gummo from Bristol, England, said that she was cuddling the dog while taking an afternoon nap when it became ill and had violent diarrhea. I mean, it shot out of the dog's ass while she was asleep.
God. He was probably trying to wake her.
And some of it went in her mouth.
And she spent 3 days in the hospital?
Yeah, Belle has since been forgiven for her mishap, but with Ms. Gummo declaring that she will definitely be more mindful of what position we sleep in the future. But following the incident, she ran to the bathroom to be sick, but was later taken to the hospital after falling ill with a gastrointestinal infection that had been passed on from Belle. She said it was disgusting, and I was hurling violently for hours. I just couldn't get the taste out of my mouth.
It probably tasted like crap.
Belle was taken to the vet, where she was put on antibiotics due to a nasty stomach bug. And later that day, Ms. Gummo started showing similar symptoms to that of Belle. They called 911, dispatched an ambulance to her home. They prescribed her painkillers for her stomach cramps, and they instructed her to drink lots of water to flush out any potential infection. After her visit, her symptoms became progressively worse, and 48 hours later, the cramps had spread all over her body. They took her to the hospital. They immediately put her on a drip, and they diagnosed her with a gastrointestinal infection that had been passed through Belle's feces into her mouth.
Wow. First, you would go to WebMD and say, is it safe to eat dog diarrhea?
She was kept under observation for 3 days while they rehydrated her with the electrolytes and glucose that she had lost. She also suffers from Crohn's disease. And she said, from the moment I got ill to when I was put on the drip, I couldn't eat a thing.
Preston, I had cancer surgery and I spent one night in the hospital.
Yeah.
She ate dog diarrhea and had to be in there for 3 days.
That's insane, dude. All right, and there you go. That's what we have in the bizarre file for you. I got more good ones.
Oh, my God. More this is a better day.
Good ones that are coming
up. Wake
up,
Grandma.
Bit
have her sit by the radio.
In the meantime, let's give away tickets to go to the Burger Brawl.
Yay! Yay!
All right, we'll take call number 18-215-263-WMMR, Sunday, October 23rd at Xfinity Live. Unlimited samples of burgers from over 60 of the area's leading restaurants and chefs. Plus live music and activities all day. Steve, you're going to be one of the
absolutely
judges. Casey's going to be there. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to WMMR.com, use the keyword burger, and proceeds benefit both the Philly Parks and Rec At-Risk Teen Initiative and the School District of Philadelphia's after-school programming. So we'll take the 18th caller, and you get to go to the Burger Brawl. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, coming up later on, our buddy Daniel Roebuck talking about the Munsters. We also have the conductor of the Philly Pops, because they're doing the music of The Godfather as well, and other things coming up too, including You Who Loot. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Real quick, I got this email. I want to thank Mike Hughes for sending this to me, because we spoke yesterday about that SpaceX launch that everybody could see quite clearly on Saturday night. But I had mentioned that I saw something, my son and I saw something in the sky on Friday night. And it seemed strange to me. So it wasn't as big as that SpaceX launch, which looked like a triangular. It looked like it had a comet with a tail, or like a giant arrow in the sky, or something along those lines. But anyway, saw the videos, looked really cool. Wish I would have seen that. I have seen something like that before, but what I saw Friday night was different. It was a very bright light, and it was about the brightness of, say, like a planet in the sky, you know, brighter than the stars.
Yes.
And it was moving, and it wasn't blinking. And we're watching it because my son noted, he's like, yeah, there's a satellite. And we were watching it, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared.
Mm.
I'm like, now that was weird. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I'd thrown that out there, and I got this email from Mike, and he goes, hey, Preston, I was listening to your podcast, and I think your UFO sighting Friday night could have been what is called an iridium flare, also known as a satellite flare. Hmm. And it's when a satellite hits the right angle to catch the sun and reflect to Earth real bright for just a few seconds. And he said, and at first I was like, yeah, it could be, couldn't, maybe not be. But he goes on to say, I learned about this at Acadia National Park when we went to a ranger-led star program on the beach at night. It's one of those dark sky parts of our country which makes for awesome star viewing. And the ranger had an app that tracks these satellite flares.
Hmm.
And when one came overhead, he literally counted down to the moment it flared up bright and dimmed again. He said it was awesome. Hmm. And he sent me a Wikipedia article about it, which I haven't had a chance to read yet. So, and I told him, I'm like, dude, well, I have to get this app. I got to see where this app. So when these things happen, I want to be able to see them.
Would it keep a chronology of past incidents? Would you be able to go back and see if it was good syncing question. Up with that?
Very right? good question. I mean, yeah. I'll have to check into that. So I have a feeling that's what we saw. It sounds exactly like what
because
we saw.
Because it was quick, right?
Yeah, it was just a few seconds.
Like a mirror catching a light.
Yeah. Kind of like that, I guess. And the way it faded was very strange.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Stop and think about
that. That
they can calculate that.
That's unbelievable. So.
Unbelievable. Space Mission 5. We are currently flashing lights on the satellites with various degrees of success.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. By the way, I'm completely out of oxygen.
Oh.
I breathe through my mouth.
You forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way,
to self.
Speaking of space stuff, real quick, and we're not doing the Space Cowboy.
No.
Because I only have one other story.
No matter how much Kathy begs for the Space Cowboy, you have to have the right amount of stuff.
But in a historic trial run yesterday that could lay the groundwork for saving life on Earth, NASA successfully crashed a spacecraft into a small asteroid, likely altering its orbit.
Asteroid Force Project Number 1, a complete success.
Actually, it's called Double Asteroid Redirection Test Spacecraft.
Or Double Asteroid on that chick.
Or DART.
DART. I was very interested in seeing this because this has long been something that has been discussed. The possibility of something, you know, a planet killer.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can start at least practicing on deflecting these things that might hit Earth.
And that's what they did. So they collided it with Dimorphos, a small asteroid measuring 525 feet in diameter that's located roughly 7 million miles from Earth. And this happened yesterday evening. The impact was confirmed when the video signal that had recorded Dimorphos as DART drew near dramatically cut off. So NASA Administrator Bill Nelson called the mission a successful completion of the first part of the world's first planetary defense test. The DART craft launched on November 24th of 2021. That's how long
it takes to get.
It's been heading there. And the mission had an estimated cost of $325 million. DART was traveling at 14,000 miles per hour at the time of impact, with the last 4 miles of its journey taking just 1 second. Think about that.
The size of DART again?
So DART is 500, or no, the actual DART thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the size of a, they said, of a golf cart.
So going at that velocity into the asteroid, and they won't know soon, or they'll know soon whether there was some sort of deflection, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You imagine the math involved in making this happen.
It's astonishing.
It's just like,
Just, I mean, the number of, like, equations like, that have to go into place to, like, get it to that close.
Nick, it's like hitting a bullet with a bullet.
Yes.
It's you know? Crazy, man. I tell you, I broke five pencils trying to figure this crap out. And I lost my eraser. It wasn't an eraser. I chewed it off so I could put my troll doll on the pencil.
You know, Preston, I was watching a special about this satellite they sent in the closest proximity ever to the sun. And how they had to calculate temperature.
It's crazy.
Because the difference between something in the shade, that quote unquote shade that close to the sun, is a massive temperature drop.
Yeah.
And how the satellite would stay at the same angle facing the sun as it was orbiting. It was just an amazing amount of calculation.
Yeah.
And they nailed it.
Yeah, and all the forces that are acting upon it, like radiation and stuff like that.
It's very hot.
Yes. Well, wait till nighttime, yeah, and then you go out there.
Be cooler. And then it looks like it's made of cheese.
Or maybe we should send you in the winter when it's colder.
Yeah.
That's probably better.
Right. Okay. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neither Dimorphos or Didymos, the larger asteroid that it orbits, posed a threat to Earth either before the impact from DART or afterward. The asteroid was chosen by NASA so as to test the accuracy of rocket guidance systems that might be used in case larger asteroids threaten Earth in the future. So the crash, which NASA broadcast live, is believed to have altered Dimorphos' trajectory. Exactly how much remains to be determined.
Right, and towards Earth.
Yeah, right. And will depend on whether Dimorphos is found through further investigation to be solid.
Why did you send that asteroid into our planet? What did we do to you?
So they need to find out if the asteroid is even solid or if it is a gravitationally held together clump of rocks.
Well, it's probably a good idea because occasionally, as you reported on, they'll be caught off guard by an asteroid that they had no idea existed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was one that passed basically the distance between us and the moon. Do you remember that one? It was a small, like the size of a refrigerator, mm-hmm. but it was still, would they make it a comet? I don't know. It catches you off guard. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, it's crazy, and things are small, and how do you detect all that small stuff, you know? I don't know. They said that Nancy Chabot, who is with NASA, said that scientists will determine the extent of how the test had changed the trajectory of the asteroid. She said this is a double asteroid system. All we've done here actually is change slightly how Dimorphos goes around Didymos, right? The telescopes on the Earth have studied this for years, so we knew that the time it takes Dimorphos to orbit Didymos used to be 11 hours and 55 minutes, so what is it going to do now? The telescopes are going to measure that period change.
They've talked about things even as far as connecting a celestial sail.
Mm-hmm.
A solar sail, I should say.
The footage of the head-on collision was captured by the camera embedded on DART, but the impact will also be studied by telescopes on Earth and on satellites.
It's amazing. Yep. It's incredible.
Though DART was about the size of a golf cart, and the asteroid is as wide as the Washington Monument is tall, its speed should be sufficient to successfully alter the orbit of Dimorphos.
You know, we have a ton of golf carts. You can send a lot of those up into space.
They start launching golf carts.
A bang shot off Mercury.
Like a giant, you know, a catapult or something like that.
But listen, golf was played on the moon.
Yes, it was.
So?
Yeah. So? We can.
So let's bring golf carts.
Golf carts and golf carts.
Yeah. You're going to need one.
All right, anyhow, I thought that was...
it was great.
Very interesting and worth passing along. And I realized I have a couple of other stories to pass along, and I think we ought to open our shop this morning.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, come on in, everybody.
That's Preston Elliott, the proprietor, waving y'all in.
I'm going to start with a story from our area. Philadelphia International Airport ranked last for large airports in J.D. Power's 2022 North American Airport Satisfaction Survey. Does anybody here disagree with that?
You know
what? I don't either.
I will say this. My last experience with the airport, Was pretty fluid.
Was it?
Listen,
better?
There are some times
it's just okay.
It was pretty
it's okay. It's
there are
better.
Some times that when it can be fine for us, but yeah. We still and forever will sit between New York and Washington D.C. and that's it.
Oh, as far as what goes,
anything, priority. The priority goes to New York and D.C. and we're second.
Well, I'm just thinking about the quality of our airport and just that it's just okay.
It's gotten better.
You go to other airports and you go. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
No. Uh-huh. You've blown out
this
of your socks.
Is nice. Yeah. Yeah. And Philly is just kind of.
I mean, I think there's enough to get by there. Like, to me, I'm not impressed by big, huge, crazy airports. I'm not spending. I want to get in and out of there as quick as possible. I get to the airport as late as I possibly can, try to get on the flight, and get the heck out of there. As long as there's an option, if you're starving, you need water, like, whatever. To me, Philly is fine. But, I mean. I guess, I don't know. I guess some people like the nicer airport.
Conversely, Kathy, I had a 6-hour layover in Denver, and it was pleasant because the Denver airport is
it's
really nice.
Yeah.
And it just was like, it sucked that I had to wait 6 hours. But when you leave Philly and you go to another airport, you're like, oh, yeah, we just aren't that good.
It's aesthetically nice in Denver. The one in Tampa is nice. The one in Dallas is freaking amazing.
I see what you're saying. We're not talking consistency of on-time departures.
No,
we're talking about environmental as well.
No. It's everything. So rankings were based on these six factors. Terminal facilities.
It is woefully inadequate.
Arrival, departure, baggage claim, security check, check-in baggage check, and food and beverage and retail as well. So all of that, overall thing.
You know, like you go to some airports like DFW, that is a sprawling airport.
And it's awesome.
There are things, you would go there just to go shopping.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually stuck at the Shannon Airport. This was years ago in Ireland.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. I mean, you talk about quality, and I don't know if they've updated it or
have
what.
Have you seen our monkey?
Yeah. But, I mean, as far like the seats to sit on were dirty. We were in an area where people were sitting on the floor because there wasn't enough seats. There was no food in the terminal we were in. No food. We were stuck there for hours. Now, fortunately, it's a little bit different than the United States, and they brought food out to us. So wherever the food was, they brought it over.
Potatoes.
We were stuck there. Yeah. But, I mean, that was a terrible situation.
I was in Amsterdam one time, Kathy, and there's a full-on a branch of the Rijksmuseum, the art museum, like the National Art Museum, is in the Amsterdam airport. You can tour an art museum while waiting in the airport. I'm actually kind of surprised, Preston, though, that Newark isn't on this list, because I had to fly out of Newark a couple of times.
That's terrible.
And that is an awful airport.
Awful.
It's really difficult getting in and out of. It's that part in Jersey sucks anyway. It's in Newark, yeah. Steve, I heard that LaGuardia over the last 2 years since the pandemic has gotten really nice.
Really?
And LaGuardia was supposed to
be. LaGuardia was a
one of the
get
worst
in
ones.
And get the F out.
But they've made $1 billion.
It's like a billion?
Worth of improvements.
If you announce, we put $1 billion.
Nick, it's also considered by pilots one of the most, one of the ones they hate the most because the runways are short.
Yeah.
It's tough to when you take a flight, the plane will pitch as far as it can sometimes. It's very difficult to get in and out of.
Steve, attention to airport people.
Attention people in the airport. Airporters. I would like to direct your attention to the dirty chairs, which you may feel free to sit upon.
I'm thinking of some of the airports I've been to, like in Raleigh, North Carolina. So this is, by the way, Philly is considered a large airport.
Yes.
It's not one of the, there are mega airports like Atlanta and Chicago O'Hare.
Like the Magad Church.
And the Magad Church. No, but that's literally the classification.
Yes, a mega airport.
They're called the mega airports. Yeah. Ours are considered large airports. But
there's no possibility of expanding the boundaries of the airport. You can build internally.
Making it bigger? No, I don't know.
It's locked into where it is here.
It just needs a facelift. So the I think the newer terminals like ENF are nicer. I think they're a little more friendly to the eye.
And the food court in between, I think, B and C, right?
Yes.
That's do you ever go matter. Through DVDA?
No,
it's incredible.
DVDA. Yeah, it gets
but
crowded.
Yeah, the big food court between B and C, that's where I always head to.
Right.
If I want to get something to eat.
But you know what? You can't even head there on like a people mover. You have to walk there like 9 miles. Every other airport in the world has people movers if you want to get in between terminals. Philly's just does not.
You're right. And just on the amenities thing, I think they could really skip it up a bit because there are simple places, cafes, just to hang out. My mindset is to get there as early as possible and just expect there's going to be a nightmare. And then you can relax. You just sit and have a cup of coffee.
Expect a nightmare.
Right. Expect a nightmare. And then you'll be surprised.
Having
places where you can hang out where that is easy to do is essential.
Hey, they got Chick-fil-A. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They got a lot of
That's all you need?
Yeah, that's all I need.
But if you're not in that terminal, like you said, it's just like, it's annoying.
Yeah. I was LAX on Saturday.
It was fine. Yeah. And getting in was super easy.
Was it nice at all? Because they've done a lot of renovations there, too.
I thought it was fine.
Okay.
I didn't think it was nice.
All right.
But, you know.
LAX is kind of generic to me. Chicago O'Hare was okay when we were there recently.
It's busy.
Yeah, it's very, very busy. It's one of the busiest in the world.
I've had some nightmares at Chicago, but not because of the airport itself, because it's such a wonky weather area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there a couple of times where literally it was so cold. The people could not be out on the tarmac and assist with my longest delays were at Chicago O'Hare.
I've been to Tampa a lot and it's nice.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't go, wow, this is something else, but it's definitely nicer than Philly's for sure.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I don't think it is.
Okay. Have you spent much time there?
Tampa? Sure. We flew into Tampa a bunch of times to go to spring training.
Okay. I think it's decent. They have a nice shopping area because it's got one central area and then everything else branches out away from that. And I kind of like that. Ours doesn't have that. It doesn't
You can get to every spot there if you wanted to. Okay, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, and it's got trams like Denver does as well.
Right.
To get you where you need to go. And I love that.
Have you ever gambled in Las Vegas' airport?
No.
Yes.
Because as soon as you get off the plane or are waiting to get on the plane.
One-armed bandits.
Exactly. Yeah. They're waiting for you.
Yeah.
I think it's just slot machines. I don't think they have tables.
Yeah, right. No, it's just the slot machines.
Right.
How soon before they'll do that, though?
But that airport is nice.
Yeah.
Vegas?
Yeah.
It's weird because, like, Kennedy Airport, you have LaGuardia, which is considered... And Nick, you say it's undergone a transformation, but it's possibly the case. Kennedy, for all its nightmarishness, is actually full of stuff that's, you know, restaurants and things and this kind of thing.
And these things with the terminals and the planes and the people with the luggage.
Somebody texted in that there are now burrito bowls at Terminal D in the Philly airport. Yeah,
they're just on the floor in a corner.
D?
No.
Burrito bowls.
I would like a burrito bowl.
Burritos.
Yeah. They're like...
Like a breeder's?
A burrito in a bowl?
Yeah, a burrito in a bowl.
That's where I get a Chipotle.
Yeah.
Okay, burrito. But I think once you get further in that direction, things get... So D is... That's Southwest Airlines, I think.
I thought that was
there. It might be. I don't know. Anyway, all I know is that Philadelphia Airport is last.
That's right. It stinks!
Stinks!
Yeah. We're better than that, actually.
You're better than that!
Yeah.
All right, so anyhow... it ranked last, so there you go. Hang on real quick. One call, and then I'm moving on to another story. I got David here who wants to comment on something. Hey, David, good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning? Yeah, I want to say that I believe that Philadelphia Airport is the only airport that is still owned by the city and controlled by the city.
Philadelphia is the only airport owned and controlled by the city. I had not heard that. We'll do a little checking on that.
All privately owned airports,
All right, interesting.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, you got it.
All right,
he's saying, I guess,
most
that's why
airports
ours isn't nice.
Around the country are owned by Spencer's.
No, I mean, who owns airports? Is it owned by the state?
You would assume it's owned by the state, right?
Yeah, I've never really thought about that, to be honest.
I don't know.
Not really sure.
Yeah, the city of Philadelphia owns PHL.
Okay.
How about that?
What about other airports?
Let's see. Let me check. I'll check Newark.
Who owns
Newark Airport?
So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
It says the airport is owned by the city of Newark, but controlled by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. So that's a little bit different than
ours. What about Pittsburgh? Let's stay in Pennsylvania.
All right, stay in PA.
Who owns Pittsburgh?
There you go. Hang on. Yes, there's somebody answering his question. Yes, some airports in the USA are owned by government agencies, federal, state, county, or town, and some are privately owned. Many airports are owned by one entity and operated by another. For example, JFK Airport is owned by the City of New York and operated by the Port Authority, like Kathy was saying. Francis S. Gabreski Airport is owned by Suffolk County, New York, and is jointly operated by the county and U.S. military. Long Island MacArthur Airport is a regional airport owned and operated by the town of Islip, New York. Branson Airport is privately owned and operated by Branson Airport, LLC. Many general aviation airports are privately owned. Most military airports are owned and operated by the federal government, as you might imagine.
Can we open our own airport then?
That'd be cool.
Preston Steve Airport?
Yeah.
Is it legal for a private citizen to own an airport?
Bill Weston can be our lead pilot. Yeah.
You could have had flown a number of different airlines today. We appreciate you choosing us.
I need you to stop talking.
Very strict rules. Yeah.
His flights are not fun.
We're going to take off. The overhead compartments as high as might have shifted during the flight.
Right before they take off.
Santa's got to go.
That's his call sign.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, I'm going to move on to something else. Philly Airport sucks. That's what we learned.
Yes.
I see a story that's ripe for the picking right on this shelf right here. Friday afternoon, the Pennsylvania State University's Board of Trustees voted to approve the sale of alcohol inside Beaver Stadium.
No kidding.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Nice Beaver.
There's 110,000 people in that stadium on any given Saturday, and for the longest time, never any booze, so everybody outside.
I didn't know that. They could not sell. Yeah, that's boring. That right?
Well, college campus, and so the idea was to prevent kids from getting hammered. Kids,
otherwise, they would have nowhere to find beer. Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sure that prevented them.
Previously, though, sales were limited to just the club and suite areas. In the future, everyone over 21 years old can buy in the stadium. This is a radical departure from a long-standing policy with five trustees not wanting to break from that. Penn State joins eight other current Big Ten schools that sell alcohol in public areas at its home games, and about half of the schools in Power Five conferences selling alcohol at their home football games this autumn.
What's the maximum attendance of that stadium?
It's 110.
Oh my God.
And it's a big stadium. And yeah. I went to one game, and this is a long time ago, but there's like you walk out to the seats, the bleacher area, and then you just walk the steps, and it's just straight up. And we were basically at the top of the stadium. Jeez. So about a half hour after climbing, I was like, "Oh my God, I gotta go to the bathroom."
I was gonna ask, did you have to go to the bathroom at all? Because then you gotta go all the way back down.
You gotta go all the way back down.
Yes, there's no
bathrooms up there.
There's no levels.
No.
Oh,
no. So. I assume it's going to have to be a very efficient method of carding.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Steve, because the plan will see each person who buys alcohol wristbanded, although they will still check IDs for every transaction, even if you're wearing a wristband.
Okay.
Each transaction will be limited to two drinks maximum.
Oh.
And all alcohol sales will stop at the end of the third quarter of home football games.
Pretty standard stuff.
Eagles
Stadium, like you can't get a beer after a certain time. But I do have to say, because I've been to a ton of tailgates for NFL games, The tailgate for Penn State games are insane. Steve, luxury buses.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Like, it's a whole different level. And I think it's because you can't drink in the games.
Yeah, maybe.
They bring the bars with them.
They make the outside of the game a lot of fun. I went to a pretty small school in central PA. Bucknell, was like 4,000, and football games were nothing.
Yeah.
45 minutes to our west with State College with 110,000 people going to football games. Yeah. And so we would go to those because they were so much fun. But Casey, you're absolutely right. The tailgates at those games, it's just they're second to none. Honestly, we should do a show trip sometime because they are such a good time. Maybe
I'm down with it. Why not?
It's a freaking blast. And anybody that's ever been to a Penn State football game or like their alumni association, they are so proud of these games. Yeah. They absolutely bleed blue and white.
It's crazy.
According to the plan that was on the agenda, beer stations will be placed strategically throughout the venue, stating that the stations will be located away from student seating areas to discourage easy access.
I can't have a beer. They say it's wrong.
The plan also paves the way for adding 300 new staff members and a liquor liability task force charged with managing alcohol sales and enforcing the rules. And the new employee serving beer will receive the industry standard RAMP training and certification. So that's a big deal. Yeah.
I wonder how much revenue they expect to generate with that. I'm sure, obviously, a lot.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, they're hiring 300 extra people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They're going to definitely bring in some cash. All right. Actually, I'm sorry. We just opened and closed the store real quick. That was it. This didn't even count. Maybe we'll do it again tomorrow.
It was not.
Why is that?
Everybody.
So, sure. All right. And with that, we do need to take a break because we got guests coming up when we return. We're going to talk to our buddy Dana Roebuck about the Munsters, available on Netflix, and also the conductor of the Philly Pops Orchestra to talk about their upcoming event. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. Jeff, why are you calling us?
Because I just won $1,000.
93.3 WMMR presents Yoo-Hoo Loot.
Tracy, you are my winner.
I can't believe I won. It's so exciting.
Your shot to win $1,000 cash.
First time I ever won. I'm super, super excited.
Excellent.
Weekdays at 8 a.m., 10 and noon, 3 and 5 p.m., listen for the Yoo-Hoo Loot sounder and get the keyword. Text it to 45911 or enter it on our website or the new MMR app. See official rules and details at WMMR.com. MMR's Yoo-Hoo Loot.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Sponsored by Horizon Services Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Book online at horizoneasybook.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Why did we just play three songs in a row? We had a fire drill. Actually, it wasn't a drill.
Yeah.
It was an alarm.
And, we could stay during a drill.
Normally in drills, we are allowed to stay in our studio because
we're essential.
Somebody needs to run this thing. And our engineer Rob came and he's like, nope, everybody out. Out right now. So Casey loaded up a bunch of songs and we headed outside. It was quick, whatever it was, because we weren't outside very long.
I noticed that Rob is now wearing Kathy's lipstick, so I don't know what happened while
you
we were out.
You think it was a ruse?
Yeah.
You think it was all ruse for him to...
That's what I'm just saying.
Wear one's clothing and...
Yeah.
Prance about the studio? I don't know. Anyhow, it's kind of chilly out. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
A little breezy and chilly, but nonetheless, we have guests standing by, so let's take a look at traffic and see what's going on, then we'll move along. Kathy, what do you have for us?
On the Boulevard southbound, you're jammed from 9th to Wissahickon Avenue. Schuylkill eastbound, slowing 202 into Belmont, City to Spring Garden, westbound, past Young to the Vine, Girard to Belmont, the Blue Route out to Gulf Mills. 95 northbound, backing up from Girard to Cottman Avenue, southbound from Academy through to Bridge. Also near 322 Highland Avenue, where left lane construction is set up. Pennsylvania Turnpike westbound, heavy from Route 1 to Willow Grove, an accident off to the shoulder. In New Jersey, Route 130 southbound at the Black Horse Pike, we still have a down pole and down wires. You're jammed back to Collings Avenue. Two right lanes are blocked. 55 northbound, heavy from Deptford to the 42 freeway. 42 north slows 41 to 295. This traffic report brought to you by MedExpress. You think ER bills care about how much money is in your bank account? They're just paper. They can't care. But MedExpress can. They offer affordable care. All on your schedule. MedExpress, open 8 to 8 every day. No appointment necessary. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you, Kathy. So when it comes to iconic films, they're usually accompanied by an iconic score that can bring the whole thing together.
Yes.
You can name movie after movie that has a great theme song to it. There's one in particular that... I don't know, Steve. Could be our all-time favorite movie.
Oh my God, you'd be hard pressed to. Yeah. It's the when you want to talk about the quintessential American masterpiece, it's this movie.
And the moment you hear this music, you know what you're in for. So the performance of this music live, along with the film, is going to be taking place at the Man on Saturday. And it will be the Philly Pops, and we have the conductor of the Philly Pops on to talk about this morning. Mr. Nicholas Hirsch is with
us. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Nicholas. How you doing, sir?
Oh, doing great. I'm really excited for this week.
I'll bet. So this score, this obviously that's the main theme that we keep hearing over and over, but One of the things that's interesting about a film that has a great score to it is there's all kinds of movements throughout. And you and the orchestra are going to be playing live to the movie as it is playing?
Hey, guys, sorry. Your audio just cut out there on me. So I missed about half of what you just said.
That must be where the fire was.
I think the fire caught. No.
In our Zoom hookup.
So, no, but you will be playing along with the film, playing the original score as we know the movie when we see it. On TV or whenever, wherever we may be.
That is absolutely correct. We're playing every bit of music that's recorded live in the movie. So I mean, we have that theme that you just played, that beautiful love theme, and then we have, you know, the famous trumpet theme, and then every little bit of diegetic interstitial music. You know, when you have your weddings and you have your scenes in the hospital when the Godfather is almost about to be attacked.
Yeah.
You have all of this great, great music by Nino Rota. And in fact, the director's father, Carmine Coppola.
Yeah, it's astonishing. So Francis Ford Coppola's own dad, Carmine, wrote some pieces that appear in the movie. Nino Rota, who's a famous film composer, they had actually gone, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe this is the story, Nicholas, is that Coppola and the producers said, we want this kind of music. They went to Nino Rota, and he actually took an older piece that he had written for a film called Fortunella and sort of adapted it. And that all became now the iconic Godfather music. But that also sort of barred him from getting the Oscar for soundtrack because it was from another movie, correct?
Right. I think that's the story. And I also believe I read that some of the producers thought that Nino Rota's score was in fact too stuffy and too high class for this. But apparently Francis Ford Coppola insisted that they keep it. And here we are with this.
Oh, it's so the Preston, you know, the piece you talk about, just that lone trumpet, you know, the sequence in the hospital that you talk about, that sort of ominous chord that's playing when Michael's out in front, and anticipating these guys showing up to kill the Godfather, and all of that. Every piece of music, the second you hear it, you get goosebumps because it's so evocative. Right. But yes, that's the fact that he had to fight tooth and nail to get this, which, as you said, stuffy. But it's got to be authentic. It's got to be Italian. It's got to have that whole. By the way, are they going to do are you going to play the backing music for Johnny Fontaine's song?
We are, in fact. Oh. We are. Every little bit of you know, even your old pop songs, we are actually playing the backing for.
So wow.
There's not a minute of music here that you will not hear the Philly Pops playing live.
Well, then I'm curious about that, Nicholas. How do you get a copy of the film that does not have the music included in it?
Well, so there's a very unique system that conductors have to accompany these films. We do get a sort of special copy of the video that has all of this stuff sort of imprinted on the film. That's essentially our syncing mechanism. You have these things that we call streamers and punches that essentially keep us in the right place at the right time so that you know, everything is synced and everything is where it needs to be.
There's a very jazzy, or a very sort of swing sort of piece of music that kicks in when Tom Hagen's going out to L.A. to meet with the producer. Mm-hmm. And
ironically called Manhattan Serenade.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
You know, it's in California.
But it's, again, there's not one piece that does not immediately. And the same sort of composer and Carmine Coppola also carried over into Godfather 2, which has its own, you know, similarities to Godfather 1, but many different pieces as well. But again, you'd be hard pressed to find a more iconic soundtrack. I mean, obviously there's Star Wars and Jaws and things like that, but from beginning to end, where every element, the separate elements, all, you know, evoke an instant memory.
And don't get me wrong, I love John Williams. I love those big Hollywood scores. But this is actually a little bit more intimate than you might find in John Williams, and that really adds a certain je ne sais quoi to this particular experience that is really, really remarkable. And again, so this is on Thursday at the Man. Parking is free. You don't want to miss this live music with the original Godfather.
Nicholas, I've been to a few of these over the years, including one of the Star Wars ones. I saw Back to the Future picture one time, and it's a really interesting phenomenon when you're sitting there in the audience, especially with a movie that you know really well, that you might may have seen several times, like with Star Wars or The Godfather or Back to the Future. And there are moments while you're watching the movie where you kind of forget that the music that you're hearing is being done live right in front of you. And then there these moments circle back in where all of a sudden becomes very visceral and really three-dimensional. And I'm wondering, as you know, while you're composing it, if you're up on stage, do you ever kind of forget that, like, what you're watching isn't the score in the movie, but it's the people in front of you that are composing it at that moment?
Well, I would say when I'm up there conducting, it's very difficult to keep things nice and tight and sync. So I'm really much in the zone. I'm focused. I'm, you know, trying to make sure everything is just where it needs to be, especially in these longer scenes when there's, you know, the tempo shifts a little bit and you have to make sure that you're spot on with the film. So, but I mean, that is, as you describe, it's the magic of these experiences. When you hear, you know, an 80-piece orchestra coming to play these iconic scores live, there really is nothing like that. Even if you were to have it without the video, it would be such a sort of visceral experience, as you describe. But to have it live with the movie, well, it's almost like watching opera, as yeah. you might say, too, except it's a beloved film.
And for many people, now I got to see when The Godfather, I'm old enough, I saw The Godfather in the movie theater on a large screen. For many people, this would be the first opportunity to see The Godfather on a big screen, which is something in and of itself. So that's very cool.
Yeah. And Nicholas, with the score being the way it is, we played that theme, and I hear instruments like maybe a mandolin in there or something along those lines. So I would imagine you guys have had to bring on some other musicians to be a part of this score in particular.
Totally. There's in fact a great sort of central, which you might call a rhythm section in the middle of this orchestra that has, as you say, mandolin, guitar, accordion, piano, drums, and bass. And that's all, you know, very, very integral to this music. And yeah, I mean, that love theme, it could not be more Italian if you asked for it because of that mandolin.
Okay, so the accordion I just thought of when Michael comes to Las Vegas and Fredo comes out and they start,
hey!
Are you guys playing the music in that part too?
We are playing.
Oh my God.
Wow. He's a jolly good fellow.
Yeah, he's a jolly good. And Michael is having none of it.
Yeah, he's
get
no
rid of him.
Intro,
get
yeah.
rid of him.
Oh, that's great. All right, Nicholas, I'm excited then. Okay, like you said, it is Thursday. No, I have it here. It says Saturday.
It's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Thursday the 29th. Yep.
You lied to me.
Who did?
You broke,
you
my,
broke
heart.
My heart. Nicholas, you broke my heart. Here in the studio where we do the show where our children play with their toys.
So it's going to be on Thursday.
Yes.
Actually. And I love that that parking is free. You got to love that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
So, Nicholas, fantastic. We're hoping for good weather. Yeah, Thursday's looking good. So it should
looking
be a great
good.
Great night out, man. Continued success with the Pops, and we'll talk again sometime down the road. We're going to give away some tickets to this, if you don't mind.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Take care. Nicholas Hirsch, guys, conductor of the Philly Pops. That sounds awesome. So you know what? I will take call number 10 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll set you up with tickets to go. And I have a few more. I'll give away some later on. So you know what? Let's take callers 10 and 11. And we'll give away those tickets, 215-263-WMMR. Yes.
I'm going to recommend to you the show The Offer, which is on Paramount Plus. Again, it's the making of The Godfather. There are flights of fancy that they take with some of the facts. But for the most part, they're spot on as to how all the elements of The Godfather, because you're such a fan, you can't help but get tingles as they're recreating certain scenes.
I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah.
All right, we go from one cinematic masterpiece to another. This is actually it's out today, ladies and gentlemen, on Netflix. And we've been building this up for a while because our friend's in the movie.
Yes.
And we're happy to welcome back to our show, starring as Grandpa Munster in The Munsters, Rob Zombie's The Munsters, Daniel Roebuck.
Yeah.
Hi, Grandpa.
Hey. Yeah, hey, how are you guys? It's nice to see you.
That's excellent.
You're such a fan of The Godfather. I should have started in Sheriff. On this day of my daughter's wedding, you come to me to ask me to do murder. Good morning, you guys.
How are you? Good to see you.
I love you guys. Can I just tell you? I follow you online. All the good you do for your community. It just makes me so happy.
That's very kind, yeah.
Thank you.
We're very excited, you know, for this, for the Munsters. And I would say this, I think we talked about this before, Daniel. The Munsters, though, only two seasons, made a massive imprint in pop culture. I know you're a massive fan just of the collectibles and things of that nature. And it was just, it's this rare pop culture zenith that didn't get its just due for the longest time. And Rob Zombie has always been a savant level fan of the Munsters.
Yeah. It's, he could cite chapter and verse of, literally anything you'd want to, if, you know, Lester was in, and he'd say, Lester was in this episode. He knows exactly when Lester was in, how long he was in. He is. And I'm so grateful for the chance to be in the movie with him and Sherry and Jeff Daniel Phillips. But I was more grateful to just spend time with a creative visionary like him.
Well, listen, something like this always ends up having a little bit of difficulty because you're always compared to the originals, and that's always a tough thing. This is more from what I understand in the tone that we've seen in the trailers, it's more of a tribute. And though I'll tell you what I keep hearing from everybody is that your grandpa is, and I'm not saying this just because we're friends, is the movie stealer. Your grandpa is really, you know, terrific.
Well, that's kind. I mean, so as a director myself, I understand you never want a movie stealer.
Yeah.
Because you want everybody to watch the whole movie and love the whole movie. So if I am great as Grandpa, it's because Jeff was great as Herman and Sherry is great as Lily. And as an actor, I had some great entertainers to bounce off of.
I didn't realize that Jeff was was one of the Geico...
He was the guy.
Caveman.
He's the guy they go. Yeah, he's the Geico caveman. They did that series, so they convoluted the DNA pool a little. But he is the Geico caveman, and so funny in those. You know, I was lucky because the grandpa in the story is the most like the grandpa in the TV show. I'm 300 plus years old. I'm, you know, in my lifetime, I'm kind of like that other guy, but Jeff is playing Herman brand new and Sherry's playing Lily like someone in her early 20s. So, even though she's, what does she say? She goes, she's 150, but you know, that's the new 100.
Well, and we get to see the beginning basically of when Herman was put together and their early courtship and dating. That's a large part of the movie, correct?
Absolutely. And Grandpa's not happy about it. I hope people embrace this. I don't care what critics think.
Yeah.
And I most importantly don't care what any idiot who lives in his mother's basement and goes online and gives a review thinks.
Listen, if you don't get that this is about having fun and giving you a reminder of, then you're missing the point. It's if you don't go in as a bit of a fan, you know, that's why you're there. You love the Munsters. And so I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Listen, you guys are always so gracious to give me the time to promote these things. I'm proud of the Munsters. I'm proud of the work we did. We went and we lived. Guys, we lived together. I was with, think of this. I don't think we talked about this before. Rob Zombie had the number one album in the country, in the United States, on the first weekend we were in Budapest. Wow. And you know who celebrated with him? The seven of us who were there in the bubble.
Right.
Nobody else could come in. So in your lifetime, you guys are in this business, so you may have that opportunity more than me. I don't know that I'll ever have it again, where I got to be with the top-selling creative, you know, musical genius of the country on the moment when he was celebrated at that.
It's great.
Amazing experiences, wonderful times doing this.
You know,
I mean, look, that's a picture of our house, the one that he had built over there in Budapest.
You gave us a sneak peek of your figure from the Munsters. Is that going to be available for purchase, and will there be collectibles from the movie?
Yes, NECA has. I think the NECA dolls are out now. You can find them online. NECA. They're these like little big head Remco versions. I don't have mine yet.
What?
I know. I'll get. Well, we've been traveling. You know, I've been on this Munsters tour that continues. I'll be at Monster Mania this weekend in Maryland. I've been touring. Although last week, by the way, guys, I did something last week. Maybe you got to send Casey with me next year.
All right, I'll do it.
I went to Mayberry Days.
Oh,
Mount Airy, North Carolina, where they celebrate Andy Griffith and the Andy Griffith Show for an entire week.
I'm a massive fan of the Andy Griffith Show and Mount Pilot. Mount Pilot was the big. You'd go up to Mount Pilot when you really wanted
to
go to
Raleigh. When he really had business, he'd say, "No, I'm going to Raleigh."
Yeah.
And Mount Airy, in life, Andy always said, when we were working together, he said, it's not Mayberry, but that's where he was born. But over time, he grew to accept that. I think that once they showed him that they were just grateful for him, he was happy that they were celebrating. There's an Andy Griffith Museum. There's so much to do there. Anyway, Casey, next year.
All right.
Let's go.
Let's do it. I'm there. You really should take Steve. He's the real fan of Andy Griffith.
Is Steve allowed to leave? You're the only one I ever saw allowed to leave. Yeah.
He's right. I have to bring this up because I've forgotten. You'd done the, we've talked about on MeTV, Collector's Corner. And you've done an episode of that, and I'm an idiot. I'm fanatical. I watch the show all the time, and I'd forgotten you'd done it. I went back and watched the episode, and man, your collection of stuff is really solid. You've got some really great stuff. What's your biggest prized possession of your collection?
Oh gosh, ironically, because we're here, the rarest thing that I think that I have is my Herman Munster doll. Signed by Fred Gwynne. He signed it when we were doing Disorganized Crime. Mm. And then he told me everything the doll said.
He knew.
He remembered everything. I'm Herman Munster. I want to be your friend. There's one they even referenced the Beatles in the doll.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Daniel, I know we've kind of kept things a little bit secretive about this, so people watch it, but there are a couple of cameos. Are you shying away from saying who's in it?
No, we can say everybody's in the movie. Jorge Garcia, my buddy from Lost, plays Floop. I was so glad that he could come do the movie. Cassandra Peterson.
Yeah, Elvira.
Elvira is in the movie. Richard Brake, who's in a lot of Rob's movies, and I've known for years. He put a hatchet in my chest in 31, but I haven't helped it. He's terrific. Thomas Boykin plays Lester. And there's actually the real surprise of the movie, and I think that's finally been, I saw last night. So we all play multiple parts in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry plays two characters. Jeff plays three characters.
Wow.
I play three characters in the movie. So when you go... see if you can play, find Daniel Roebuck, find Jeff. Part of that was because we had to remain in the bubble.
Yeah.
And they couldn't keep bringing people in. And the other part is that's kind of just a very silly thing to do, to go to work and play a whole nother person.
Did Butch Patrick and Pat Priest make cameos?
Yes. And that's been announced. Butch and I have been spending a lot of time together at these conventions. And we love hanging out. He's such a great guy. He's a great guy, by the way. I just, Butch, if you're listening to this, I love you.
We had him in the studio one time. We used to do a thing called from a misunderstanding, the Haunted Horror Ride. It was actually Haunted Hayride.
Yeah, but our co-host kept mispronouncing it, Haunted Horror Ride. And we're like, well, we need to make that now. Because he was reading a live commercial for Haunted Hayride. Yeah. And he kept saying Haunted Horror Ride. We're like, well, we need to make that a thing. So we did a hayride.
I like to go on a Haunted Horror Ride.
And we had strippers on it. And Butch was in town, and we had him go on that.
He was our grandmother.
commercial.
He was, and then unfortunately, the day after that, he relapsed.
Yeah.
And we kind of felt responsible for that.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can tell you, he's 11 years sober.
Wow.
Good. Excellent.
It must have been 11 years ago that we did that event, because...
He proclaims that himself, you know, his life changed when he got that in order. God bless him. And I'm, because he wouldn't, you know, sometimes you fear, would the person be here?
Right.
Yeah.
No, he's super nice. He's super nice and dialed in when he was here. And we were glad to hear that he beat whatever he had to deal with. And listen, at a certain level, a lot of these people enter the realm of pop culture royalty, you know, and it means something. You can go now, and the Munsters are all over the place. And there's channels that just focus in, like the Pluto TV and some of the others, have Munsters-only channels. I mean, it's never left the lexicon or its place in pop culture history. So this coming out now, especially juxtaposed to Halloween, it's all great.
Yeah, and then also on Netflix, you'll have Tim Burton's Wednesday, which looks like a lot of fun. Although Wednesday, fans should know that what they spend on one episode of Wednesday was what they spend on Wednesday's catering budget.
Speaking of Adam's Family, when you had the two, the Munsters and Adam's Family, was there any competition in your mind with a personal favorite?
Yeah, I love the Munsters. That's the fact. And that's only because the Addams Family were a bit too sophisticated for, like, I was being raised on Abbott and Costello. And, you know, you had to be raised on Marcel Proust to like the Addams Family.
There was room for both. I loved
it. They were both so charming.
I adored the Addams Family.
Yeah.
I agree. And by the way, both great actors on both shows.
Oh, yeah.
But my family... Like we all wanted Andy Griffith to be our dad, but I had Herman Munster as my dad. And when you think about it, this really was my house. We, you know, and I went to school. I went to a really great Catholic school, and you know, we were probably from the poorer side of that parish. So you know, the kids I went to school with, their parents were doctors, and you know, my dad dug ditches for the city. So I've always felt like Eddie, you know, I was the outsider kid.
Right.
But so that's, I think, really why I was drawn to the Munsters.
Yeah, no, it's true. And there was that distinction. And but the house that seemed to be more fun, at least because you had Spot living under the steps, you know, and then the Addams Family obviously had some cool stuff, too. But as I said, there was room for both of them.
Yep.
But I think I agree with you. I tick a little bit more Munster style. They both bring joy. And then that's why we're all excited about the movie. So.
Yep, excellent. Thanks. All right, well, Daniel, it's finally here. People can get it on Netflix. Going to check it out this week, and it's always great to talk to you, sir. So
I'm grateful. God bless. Mm. Everybody, take care.
You got to take care. Daniel Roebuck, guys, and the Munsters.
Such a nice guy.
It opens, or is out now.
That
was kind of quick.
Yeah, it was the abbreviated version. That was the director's cut.
So now I'm trying to think of when I think of Munsters and the Addams Family, because they're not going to have Eddie in this movie because
it's before
Herman and Lily have just met. But you had Marilyn was the niece.
Yeah.
And then over the Addams Family, you had Uncle Fester.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of
his grandma.
So you had Spot under the stairs over at
the Munsters.
You had It.
Right.
Or Thing.
Cousin
It.
Right, yeah.
And then who?
Lurch.
Grandma was in...
Grandmama was in the Addams Family.
Right. And Lurch was in the Addams
Family.
So a bigger cast over at the Addams Family.
Yes. And they always had Aunt Diz and Cousin Nad, and Burf and whatever the hell.
I think I leaned a little bit more towards the Addams Family, mainly because Gomez had a flair of insanity about him.
He was very Groucho-esque, right down to the cigar and the mustache and everything. And he well, like
there were points, Preston, where he was like completely detached, where the kids walk in and he goes, well, who are these little ragamuffins? and there are children. And you had stuff like that. And then what he had, though, which was awesome, the train set.
Oh, yeah.
Which he would blow up all the time.
The train set and the swords, the fencing that they would do.
The torture chamber.
And he'd get, John Astin would get those giant eyeballs when he would look maniacal. And I loved that.
And then you trade, though, on the other side, you had the interactions between Herman and Grandpa.
Oh, my God.
And those, oh, my God. They're just hilarious stuff. And I think a lot of people just dismiss it because it looks stupid.
It's so funny.
I'm sorry. There's some great comedy there.
I agree. You big dummy.
You big dummy. Herman, you big dope.
That dynamic between those two. Oh, my God.
Great.
It was the best. All right. So we'll see what the movie yields. All right. Why don't we take a break? Let's give away another pair of passes for the Burger Brawl.
Ooh. Yes.
That is coming up not this Saturday. It is October 23rd, that Sunday.
You can start moving your mouth this Saturday.
Yes.
Preparation for eating.
If you'd like to go, be caller number 15, and we'll set you up with the passes, 215-263. WMMR. We were supposed to have some food here this morning, but I haven't seen it yet.
It was lost in the fire.
And that is from Mike's Barbecue. They're at 1703 1th Street.
It's supposed to be South 11th Street.
1th. No, he's on 1th.
3rd, 4th. Makes sense.
You guys been down to 1th Street lately?
1th Street. 11th Street.
Oh, 11.
In Philly. And Mike's been serving up his style of barbecue and smoking meats the old school way for years and years and uses...
We're number one.
Well, he's using the Lang Smoker.
The Lang Smoker.
Yeah, which is an old school stick smoker serving top quality meats and produced for special events and catering straight from South Philadelphia. And they've been voted best barbecue in PA by foodandwine.com, by
That's pretty awesome.
And I love... And we haven't had one yet, but they're supposed to bring them by. The burger they're bringing is a smash burger, double patties with American cheese, secret sauce, and house-made pickles. Dude, simple. That's the way I like it.
Yes.
I think that the proof is in the burger.
Don't reinvent it. Just make it good.
Yep. So we'll take whatever caller I say. We'll take
it. Yes.
What was it? We'll take the 1th caller. No. What caller did I say?
1th caller.
You didn't say anything.
I think I said 18. Great. All right. Caller 18. Cool. I am now. 215. I should do the 1, but we're going to do the 18th. 215-263-WMMR. You'll get to go to the Burger Brawl. Tickets are on sale now. In fact, you can go to WMMR.com and use the keyword burger and get your tickets. Proceeds benefit both the Philly Parks and Rec At-Risk Teen Initiative and the School District of Philadelphia after school programming. So we'll set you up. And speaking of going to WMMR.com, and also the Munsters and Adams Family and all the stuff we've been talking about. MMR's big friggin' deal this week is Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions.
Yeah, man.
And here's the deal. You get 2 tickets to this for $50.
That is a great deal.
That's
There's
a
so
hell of
much
a deal.
To do there. It's the nation's number one haunt, is it not?
Yes. Number one haunted attraction in America.
Rightly so.
At half price. And the combo passes allow you to access all of the attractions and are valid any night of the week. So if it says all the attractions, that's the hotel, that's the
maze,
motel, the motel, the maze, the hayride.
The hayride alone.
All anytime there's a deal on any of these Halloween attractions or fall attractions, you should take it because they only have it for a limited time because the closer it gets, they're going to, have it at regular price.
And like this one, it's while supplies last.
Yeah.
So you want to do this now. So we're just helping you out, buddy. WMMR.com, use the keyword deal, and you will find it.
But be the 1th in on this deal.
To both Bates Motel and Haunted Attraction. It's only for the 1th caller. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. We'll get into the Bizarre File when we return, and we are very, 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 very close to another $1,000 in MMR's Yoo-Hoo Loot. So hold on.
WMMR.com, the website for everything that rocks. Music news, events, photo galleries, contests, MMR gear in the rock shop, and more. All at WMMR.com.
We have about a minute and a half or so before we get to the Yoo-Hoo Loot. So I got this email. I thought this was kind of nice. It is from Cole Davidheiser, and he says, good morning, It. Last week, Casey fulfilled his dream of traveling across the country, and it inspired me to pick up and do a road trip myself. So that's what I did. I rented a car. And I'm now traveling through New England after spending the last 3 days in Acadia National Park.
That's amazing. Casey, how about that?
That's amazing.
He said, I can't wait to stream you guys while I drive and catch up through the podcast episodes. In 2018, you guys gave me a shout out while on a month-long road trip out west. Can I get another shout out for good luck with weather and safe travels? Thank you, guys. And you do rock and roll. Sincerely, Cole David Heiser. And he says, P.S. Yoo-hoo. So if you could do a little shard for him, thank you. So he decided to follow suit and pick up and go.
If anybody out there has the capabilities to do that, you know, sooner rather than later, do it.
Yep.
You know, it was such an amazing experience, and make sure that you do it with people you love or people you like a lot, you know.
Or people you pay to love you.
Yeah. Anything like that.
Right. Prostitutes.
Yeah.
I love you.
But if you have the time to do it, you know, try and, you know, afford yourself as much time as possible.
More than 5 days.
More than 5 days.
Yeah.
But even,
if you can.
Even still, like, you know, getting all that in 4 to 5 days was pretty spectacular.
Yeah. A lot of memories.
You think a road trip with prostitutes would be good or bad?
I think it depends on the prostitutes.
Right. I mean,
that's what my dad always said.
Right. Like high end.
Son, Steve, can't judge every prostitute.
Depends on the prostitutes.
Gotta get some goddamn cheese on her.
I think high end would probably not be the way to go.
You think so? You go Lauren.
I go, yeah.
Okay.
So do you go Julia Roberts?
Yeah, they won't be complaining.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Julia Roberts was she was low rent, but
large Marge.
She was more expensive than Kat though, right? Wasn't she?
Oh, we never heard Kat's prices.
Oh. Yeah. I'm just assuming.
We're just assuming.
This is Julia Roberts.
I might have gone for
Cat?
I'm going to go for Cat.
Cat seemed kind of dirty.
I don't know.
Never seen the Pretty Woman.
Seemed like what? She would do some things.
Yeah, Cat, you could probably, like, bargain.
Yeah, hold Casey's on. Never seen
You'd
it.
You never
yeah.
saw it?
No. You didn't know that? Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Was she, like, has she been working for a while, or was she brand new?
No, answering your questions, you need to watch that movie.
Blisters, sores, everything. Yeah.
I just want to know.
I just want to know
how seasoned she was before she met Richard Gere.
Well,
she seemed seasoned.
Yeah, she seemed like she knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she said, "By the way, after we do it, you're going to have like 9 diseases you didn't have before."
Right, that's how seasoned.
Yeah, yeah. It's a season.
We're going to leave you a little seasoning. Yeah.
Season to taste. Do you like crabs?
All right, we can keep talking about this, but
here it is. MMRs. Now, listen up. Here's your keyword.
The word's tip, as in just the. T-I-P, tip, is the word. And we're going to give you until 15 minutes after the hour to enter tip. There are 3 ways to do it. You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. 1 random entry wins $1,000 in our company-wide contest. And each winner, we'll get a call from our company, Beasley, so make sure that you do indeed answer your phone. There are contest rules available at WMMR.com, and the whole thing is sponsored by Horizon Services. So, again, the word is TIP, T-I-P, good luck.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
All right, let's start with this one. A father of 2 has left top doctors scratching their heads after his skin turned dark gray.
Yeah.
He's a Caucasian man. Tyler Monk was prescribed an antidepressant last year after consulting a doctor for his mental health. The treatment failed to help his mental health, but it did change the color of his skin.
And now he feels great.
Which has stumped the medical industry. Tyler was given, it's called fluoxetine.
Right.
A type of antidepressant known as a selective serotonin reputake inhibitor, an SSRI, that is commonly prescribed to treat depression.
Side effects may include your skin turning gray.
He started taking the drug in May of 2021, but within a week, Tyler's wife, Emily, had noticed that his skin color was changing. Tyler, who's a pest control field inspector, stopped the medication after only a few weeks as it wasn't helping his mental health, but his skin continued to darken. His ears.
Something's wrong.
All right, open your mouth. Say ah. Okay. So his ears started to change color first, before becoming rapidly spread to his neck and his face.
I'd be terrified.
And then spread to his arms and hands. Tyler also experienced other symptoms such as extremely red, irritated eyes and skin. His skin is now very sensitive to the sun, and it feels like he has been burned. He admits to being in denial at first, but after speaking to two of his coworkers, Tyler accepted he was actually turning gray.
Tyler's okay.
Yeah, Tyler, you look great.
We got we're going to lunch. We'll talk to you later.
Do I come with?
No. We'll pick something up.
No,
for you.
We only have enough for us.
They have takeout.
Did you get me something?
Nah,
we're quitting. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want us to pick up for you?
I like some pudding.
Some pudding?
That's for lunch?
Yeah. Just buzz my phone when you leave.
Oh, my God. I don't like this
guy
anymore.
It's awful. I hate him.
I love it. I love it.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, well, Tyler, we'll beep you when we're leaving.
It was this. I thought you guys said I was going with you.
It's so bad.
Oh, we forgot.
Oh, we gotta go. Sorry, Tyler.
Oh, this is horrible, man.
I was watching it from the window. I was yelling, but no one turned around.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
This isn't okay.
Poor guy.
Hey, it's his coworkers that are being mean. Yeah.
You still on for racquetball?
Oh, no, I pulled my Achilles tendon.
I can't do it.
Racquetball?
This poor guy.
So he visited several specialists near the couple's home in Kinder, Louisiana, since the discoloration, but they've all been stumped.
Yeah, but that's comforting.
They ruled out any serious diseases, poisonings, and autoimmune conditions, but they still...
Also, I'm just turning gray and I explode in the sun, but nothing serious.
They still can't tell him what's causing the problems. What? It says here, and I kid you not, it says here, but they still can't tell the monks what is causing the problems. Where did monks enter into this story? Okay.
We have no idea. The monks?
That's what it said. Casey, look
right
here. Is
that their last name?
Yeah. But they still can't. No, it's not even capitalized. His last name. Yeah, it is. Tyler Monk. Okay.
No,
okay. All right, there you go. Okay. Never mind.
All right.
It wasn't capitalized.
Nailed it.
So Tyler's dermatologist has now referred him to an appointment of a team of 8 skin specialists, which is an exciting breakthrough in a seemingly unsolvable case. Are these monks singing?
Yeah.
They have put together a GoFundMe page to try and
find it. Terrible.
It's terrible.
An elusive skin problem like that. I hope it's reversible.
Yeah, they don't know.
And the initial cause for the medication was depression.
Yeah, yeah. All right, here's a story. I think we have some audio to accompany this. This is from yesterday, Casey. Passengers on a Dallas-bound American Airlines flight had to listen to bizarre sounds over the intercom.
Oh, yeah.
Traveler Emerson Collins recorded the incident and described the noise as somewhere between an orgasm and vomiting.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So this is the actual sounds that they were hearing, and somebody was filming. Here we go.
Coming over the intercom of the airplane.
All right, so then a flight attendant, we have this audio, addressed the strange sounds in the video, and here's what they said.
Ladies and gentlemen, we realize there is an extremely irritating sound coming over the public announcements. The flight deck is trying to troubleshoot, trying to turn it off, so please be patient with us. We know this is a very odd anomaly, and none of us are enjoying it, so we do appreciate your attention just for a few
somebody had to have had somehow or another hacked into it.
A transmitter of some sort.
Yeah.
It's weird because usually when they're using those things, it's a hardwired microphone.
Yeah,
closed system. So it'd be amazing to be able to hack into it with like a Bluetooth transmitter. How would you do that?
I have no idea. Commenters have various theories saying perhaps a passenger was having bathroom troubles. No.
No.
While others believe the intercom system was somehow hacked by a prankster.
Yeah,
so
that seems what... Yeah.
I don't really know. Yeah. All right, and then that's it. We got to wrap it up there. Oh, man.
Right,
that's all we have time for. Sorry, guys. The gray dude took up most of the time. A reminder that you have about 5 minutes left to enter the word TIP, T-I-P, for you who... For you who loop. So text the word tip right now to, what's our number? 45911.
That's it.
Or enter it with the MMR app or WMMR.com. I keep thinking about the gray guy.
Milton Tyler.
We will take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll do the lesson question, tracks, trash and music news. And don't forget, we're zeroing in on Tattoos Day as we are going to give that away at the end of the program. So text the word tattoo to 39333 if you want to win from Floating World Tattoo of Pearson. We'll be back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com. Now,
say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Inside Out, the song from the band Eve 6 on 93.3 WMMR. It's the Preston and Steve Show. Nice day today. A little bit on the cool side, as we found out during our fire alarm
we
had earlier this morning. I actually had to leave the building. I'm like, man, it's kind of breezy and cool out. 73 our high today. Eventually it's going to be super duper nice, but lots of sunshine. Pretty much the same thing tomorrow, and then Thursday, sunny, 70 degrees. We're cooling off. We're going to be in the high 60s by the time we get Saturday with a little bit of rain. So just letting you know if you do have some weekend plans. Actually, I have some weekend plans. We have our 5K with a Mother's Wish this weekend on Saturday. So we're hoping no rain in the morning. We'll see about that. If you're interested in being a part of that 5K, you can go to PrestonandSteve.com. We have the information there, and it's for Crohn's colitis. People who have issues with gastrointestinal issues. So I will be there. Maybe you will be, too. Be nice to see you. In the meantime, we're going to give something away. We have, for the lesson question, a Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers Prize Pack.
I want that.
And if you can, well, you have to answer this quite correctly. Unfortunately, Steve, I can't let you call him. But the question we're going to ask is, what is the rallying cry for the new Avengers, Aaron Carter and Charlie Sheen? 215-263-WMMR. What is the rallying cry for the new Avengers, the new Avengers, Aaron Carter and Charlie Sheen? 215-263-WMMR. It's from our 6 o'clock hour. If you were listening, maybe you heard it, maybe no. Call if you do, because we'll do the trash while we wait for you to get through.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Live Casino and Hotel, Philadelphia. The present comedian Jay Moore coming Saturday, October 8th. And tickets are on sale at livecasinophilly.com. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. What's up, Steve?
Well, Robin Wright and husband Clement Girault have split after 4 years of marriage. Robin says Clement once quoted the Princess Bride to her saying, "As you wish." And what she wishes now is for him to eat a bag of D's.
Hey!
Aaron Carter had cops at the door, as you reported earlier, Preston, for a welfare check after going live on Instagram and appearing to be overdosing on drugs. Carter was eventually able to get the police to leave by convincing him that he was Ellen DeGeneres. And finally, website JustJared.com reporting that Shawn Mendes was spotted running errands in West Hollywood while chewing on a toothpick. In a related story, a reporter for JustJared.com was successfully talked down from an L.A. high-rise after threatening to jump. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we're going to go to the phones and see if we can find a winner. We need to know what's the rallying cry for the new Avengers. Or actually says the new Avengers. Aaron Carter and Charlie Sheen, 215-263-WMMR. And we'll go to John, see if he knows the answer. Hey, John, good morning.
Yee-hoo!
All right, John, what is the rallying cry for the new Avengers, please?
Junkies assemble.
Yes. Yeah. You are correct, Sir John. Hang on, because you just got yourself a Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers prize pack, including a soft cooler, T-shirt, koozie, and Raising Cane's gift cards for free combo meals and soft drinks. Raising Cane's is focused on being the best at one thing and getting it right every time. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers coming soon to Fairless Hills in the court at Oxford Valley Mall.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's, planning your game day football feast. Well, Jersey Mike's has got you covered with everything you need for a great party or tailgate. And order ahead on the Jersey Mike's app and skip the line. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. So I just have two stories from Music News for you this morning. Red Hot Chili Peppers frontman Anthony Kiedis shed light on the band's new tribute to late Eddie Van Halen. The track named Eddie will be featured on the band's upcoming double album called Return of the Dream Canteen, which drops on October 14th. Kiedis explains how the song came about, posting on Twitter, "Sometimes we don't realize how deeply affected and connected we are to artists until the day they die."
Right.
Eddie Van Halen was one of a kind. The day after his death, Flea came into rehearsal with an emotional bass line. And he went on to write, "John, Chad, and I started playing along, and pretty soon, with all our hearts, a song in his honor effortlessly unfolded. And it felt good to be sad and care so much about a person who had given so much to our lives." Kiedis closed by saying, "Although the song doesn't speak..." What are you doing?
I thought it was a very emotional bass line.
It's a rip-off, man. That's the Barney Miller theme.
He goes on to say, although the song doesn't speak to Eddie by name, it talks about his...
Because it's Barney.
His early days on the Sunset Strip and the rock and roll tapestry that Van Halen painted on our minds. In the end, our song asks that you not remember Eddie for dying, but for living his wildest dream. I was watching some classic Van Halen video footage yesterday. I was watching them playing Dance the Night Away. It had to have been from, like, 1979, somewhere around then, and they were just in their prime, man. So awesome. And I've always just been fixated on Eddie.
Well,
and watching him play and pull off what he did was just astonishing, the sound that he created and how original it was.
And the fact that everybody from, you know, classic sort of progressive musicians like Billy Corgan to country stars all around.
Yeah, all over the place.
Loved Van Halen.
Yeah, yeah. And to keep in mind that not only did he shred up the fretboard like that, but he wrote those songs.
Yeah.
That's even harder than becoming a really accomplished technical player. To write songs that people love is unbelievable. So that's a cool thing that the Chili Peppers have done. And then finally, speaking of great musicians, ahead of her appearance at tonight's tribute concert at LA's Kia Forum, Heart's Nancy Wilson has posted the video to her new musical salute to her dear friend, the late Taylor Hawkins. We have a clip of that to play. Wilson spoke about the tune titled Amigo Amiga, explaining the two consequence of sound. "I heard myself in tears saying too soon, too soon, which became a refrain in the song. And I spent quite a few sleepless nights trying to express it all. He was a wonderful friend, and we always had funny pet names for each other, like Amigo and Amiga, as well as Love and Darling." And she went on to say, "It was such a painful loss, but it also feels like Taylor has galvanized and re-energized rock and roll with so many of his musician friends and fans coming together. It's a new renaissance for Taylor and the Foo Fighters family that they have gifted us all." So let's play a little bit of this and see what this sounds like.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Amigo.
assuming she'll be playing that tonight.
Yeah.
So we will see.
And if you stop and think about it, talk about Van Halen, Taylor Hawkins has had, will have had two huge tribute concerts and nothing for Van Halen yet.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And I don't know what the story is on that. You know, they had talked about Van Halen reforming and doing some kind of tour or something like that. But that's a good question. You know, guitarists coming together to celebrate the night of Eddie Van Halen should certainly be something that is, and I got to imagine, would happen. But you're right. This the Taylor thing, maybe it was a little more unexpected and surprising in Taylor's age.
Yeah,
a little more shocking.
No, you know? I think Dave Grohl is the real driving force behind this. And I just don't think that there's anybody in Van Halen that is
pushing
yeah, like Dave Grohl was.
Yeah. Right. No, but the I agree. You're probably right with that, Case. And Dave has made friends with everybody.
Yes.
With absolutely
God
everybody.
God almighty, the people that adored him.
Along the way, yeah. So, all right, anyhow, that's it. That's the last stop in music news for you this morning. All right, we do have one music-related prize to give away. Actually, three of them. And they are tickets to see The Godfather Live with the Philly Pops on Thursday night at The Man. And tickets are on sale via mancenter.org. So we'll take callers 15, 16, and 17, and you'll be able to go. So this is for Thursday evening. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. The Philly Pops will be playing the music. The film will be showed on the big screen. Should be a pretty cool event. We're going to take a break, come back in a second, and wrap the show up. Stay with us. Jeff, why are you calling us?
Because I just won $1,000.
93.3 WMMR presents Yoo-Hoo Loot.
Tracy, you are my winner.
I can't believe I won. It's so exciting.
Your shot to win $1,000 cash.
First time I ever won. I'm super, super excited.
Excellent.
Weekdays at 8 a.m., 10 and noon, 3 and 5 p.m., listen for the Yoo-Hoo Loot sounder and get the keyword. Text it to 45911 or enter it on our website or the new MMR app. See official rules and details at WMMR.com. MMR's Yoo-Hoo Loot.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Sponsored by Horizon Services Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Book online at horizoneasybook.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
10:37. It is a Tuesday morning. Broadcast day coming to a close for us here at the Presidency Program. But the door's opening because one Mr. Jackie Bam Bam is going to take you from here on out. But I want to thank our guests before we welcome him on board. Thank you to the conductor of the Philly Pops, Mr. Nicholas Hirsch, who is on. And he will be taking the Pops Orchestra through the score of The Godfather as the movie plays live on the big screen at The Man. And that's on Thursday. That's going to be a cool event. And parking is free. The weather's looking good, so that'd be a great night to be out and hear some music and see one of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Thank you to Daniel Roebuck.
Hey!
Grandpa Munster in the Rob Zombie-directed Munsters, which is available on Netflix today. So if you want to check that out, you are now able to do so. So thank you to Daniel for being on the show, too. Mention Jackie. He's here. Hey, man.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, sir.
Nice to see you, too. It's a beautiful day. It's gorgeous out there. Double Shot Tuesday, and I just peed twice next to Ricky Pitalico.
So it's going to be a good day.
Wow. Twice? I think I scared him.
Why two times?
Because it's a Double Shot Tuesday. We're all flying stars.
He always goes twice, by the way.
Yeah.
I found that out about him last week.
Unofficial.
Wait, explain.
Dude, he's got to explain. Like, if he had the time to, when we stopped for a bathroom break, he would go twice.
Wait, I think in advance.
Like, you know? So for instance, Kathy, like we pulled the car over to take a picture at like a welcome to this state sign. So the second we pulled over, he'd pee. Then we go take a picture by the sign. And then we got done taking a picture
one
of the
more
sign,
time.
He'd
one
pee
more,
again.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Are you just like squeaking just a tiny trickle out on that second time?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Just being safe.
All right. Just getting it all out.
Yeah. Right. You don't know where she's been.
Yeah. Okay. L.A. traffic, Benjamin Franklin down the two lane, Joe Romano. We got a jam-o going down, but I made it.
Got a JMO.
Bob Kelly.
Peed twice.
Fair enough. So we need to do the letter of the day. Cool?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
The letter H as in home, sweet home.
All right, that sounds good. And we have three more letters to go. And on Friday, we'll give away a pair of tickets and the best seats in the house. And VIP merch package for the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction Show Friday, October 21st at the Wells Fargo Center. And the Celestial Colleagues VIP merch package includes access to the Smashing Pumpkins lounge, executive merch, and VIP entrance as well. And tickets for this show are on sale now via Wells Fargo Center. Philly.com. So we'll give that away on Friday. What's happening today, Bam Bam?
Well, I said Double Shot Tuesday. We'll fire up the bat lines, let everybody contribute the double shots. Workforce Blocks on Pierre's Menu. Killers in town tonight, so we'll give you a big concert warm-up. And, of course, opening the show, get there early, Johnny Marr, the Smiths. We'll get some of that in there. Metallica, Cliff Burton, sadly passed away today 36 years ago.
Wow. Oh, my God. What country was he in? Do you remember?
I got it. I was close. Sweden with the S.
Yes.
I was more tired then than I am now, but I got it right today. So, yeah, we'll honor that. And the big man, Meatloaf, will be celebrating a birthday. He would be 75, so we'll smile skyward. We'll do a big block of the loaf. And, of course, at noon, Yoo-hoo, Luke Key, we're worth $1,000.
Love it, Jackie's got a lot planned for you. I want to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show. Brought to you today by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, Acme official grocery store, the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. And by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, now open in Fairless Hills in the court at Oxford Valley. One love. I forgot to give away our Tattoo Day prize.
Ooh. Yeah.
So let me do that. I want to congratulate Kelsey Crowley.
Kelsey!
Ms. Crowley from Fox Chase won a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. Tattoos Day on the President Steve Show presented by Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. And for artwork samples, visit floatingworldtattoos.com or check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos. Yes. Tomorrow on the program.
It's all right.
I've done that before.
With Fox.
This wasn't the one time you've done that.
I did FUX. Yeah, it wasn't the one. Fox Good Day. And also, there's a new anchor on Fox 29.
29?
You're so close.
I'm like
seconds away.
The finish line is right there, man.
At Fox 29, Sheba Russell will be in, and cool. We have the secret text word. I got that right.
Yay! Yay! Come on,
buddy.
All right, that's it. We're done, Rage On. Clearly, I have to leave. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.